Alex Jones Network. Tomorrow's news, today.
And it's time for humanity to stand up and say, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
The next chapter in the war for humanity's minds begins now at alexjoneslive.com.
When the hydrogen bombs are detonating, and you're sitting in your house or office, and all of a sudden the windows all blow out, and then 10 seconds later, you see a flash of red coming at you, that's the firewall. And just remember, oh, Alex Jones was right. And that's if you're, you know, on the edge of the blast. You won't feel anything if you're actually in the epicenter of it. And, of course, maybe you're out in the middle of Montana or Wyoming. Well, you'll get the nuclear winter and the fallout, and then a few weeks after the nuclear war, here comes the warlords coming to loot your house and rape your wife and kids. And people got their teeth falling out from radiation poisoning, and all these crazy guys stumble out of their vehicles, and it'll be doctors and medics and engineers, and they'll all been gone totally crazy. You have a bunch of 140 IQ psychos that are literally going across the land like army ants, devouring everything in their way. And all the low IQ people will just be dead in a ditch. And then the near of civilization goes bye-bye, and all of a sudden there's all these monsters, all these 140, 150, 160 IQ monsters. The guy that used to manage the golf course, your surgeon, your neighbor who's the army vet. And now all of a sudden, they're hauling you up by a chain to butcher your ass and eat you. And if I wanted to get outside the blast zone, I could go get ready and I could be the leader. I could be a new warlord. I could organize the engineers and scientists and warriors and have a battle plan how we were going to take the resources we needed, get to a redoubt, fortify it with weapons, because there's going to be other warlords coming soon we're going to contend with as we rebuild civilization. It's not that I want to be a warlord, but that's what we're going back to. Are you ready to be a warlord? Are you ready for me to be humongous? Just give us the guns. We spare your lives.
I know how much pain you feel, but wait. Now is not the time. You'll be given your vengeance.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Bombshell live Tuesday transmission. Top banks warn of global economic collapse as all lights flash red. Trump declares the Strait of Hormuz as a U.S. territory. Hollywood actress, after saying she was basically trafficked by elite sex rings, found dead very mysteriously. It goes on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this Tuesday, the 18th day of August, 2026, we have one hell of a transmission lined up for you. First off, broadcast note, they changed the algorithm and a bunch of back-end and a bunch of features on X over the weekend, devastated basically all live streaming across the platform. I said it's probably a bug on Sunday, and they'd fixed it by Monday morning. A bunch of neocons instantly jumped on it and said, oh, Jones has no views. He's collapsed 90% because he's anti-war. No, you're the ones that have collapsed and don't have any viewers because you're pro-war. That's what all the numbers show. So I'm taking him to the woodshed on that, and I'm taking Tim Pool. Tim Pool's getting a put over my knee and getting a spanking. Okay? And this is secret meetings with the Israeli prime minister. Ha ha. But we got serious news coming up back in 60 seconds. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this. But minbenzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
It is Tuesday, the 18th day of August, 2026. We are 171 days into this war, and as predicted by all the economists, it has devastated the world economy, and the really bad repercussions are just beginning to show up on the horizon. This is a bombshell live Tuesday transmission. Top banks warn of global economic collapse as all lights are flashing red. Trump declares Strait of Hormuz is U.S. territory. Got an actress, very credible, saying that she was trafficked and sex trafficked, starting to name names, dies suddenly. There is so much to get to today. Let me tell you what we have. Obviously, this right here. When I give you a headline like that, that's what the banks are saying. That's what the big brokerage firms are saying. That's what the governments are saying. Sea of red. Sea of red. Futures slide as markets wake up to soaring bond yields and diesel prices. Agricultural commodity prices break out as J.P. Morgan's food crisis warning gets louder. Foreign holdings of U.S. Treasuries fall in June, led by Japan, U.K., China, data shows. U.S. housing starts plummet in July near COVID lows. A lot of the retail market imploding. Meanwhile, Trump posts map depicting Hormuz as new U.S. territory just after latest tanker attack by Iranians. The strait's basically closed. As Japan bond yields soar, unrealized losses at life insurance hit $200 million. Japanese main business now is committing suicide to be able to fund their families. I'm not kidding. Look it up. Absolutely unprecedented diesel spread hit lows, record, as refined products crisis arrives. They don't have enough. Massive shortages. More huge attacks taking place inside of Russia. We'll be getting to all of that. Generates a number of risks. UBS warns German natural gas storage levels alarmingly below seasonal norms. Strategic oil reserves basically gone. That's just some of what we've got for you today. On that front, we'll be drilling more into, and this is known numbers. This is known this would happen. This has derailed Trump's recovery. And the polls are out, even lower polls for him on the war, on the economy. And he's making all these Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake statements about everything's fine. So are his surrogates, the worst possible thing he could be doing. I'm not even criticizing Trump. I'm just watching this train wreck, this circular firing squad, and it is just terrible. We have Trump's overall approval rating falls to 33, lowest in his presidency. On his handling of the war and the economy, it's at 27 and 26. Not good. At all. You have Kim Jong-un, the dictator of North Korea, threatening to nuke Israel and the U.S. if Israel or the U.S. nukes Iran. Meanwhile, Trump is in a love fest with Kim Jong-un, saying how great he is and stopping and cutting back military drills. He has to, as he's pulled the last aircraft carrier out of the South China Sea to send it to deal with Iran. Just unbelievable. Do you want to see this continue on? I know I certainly don't. There's the Drudge headline. Summer bummer. Trump approval falls 33. Lowest of presidency. His broken promises in 11 charts. We're going to be going through those. Oil prices increase as Iran war drags on and on and on. He explodes at reporter over a question about his potential girlfriend. And again, if I just cheerlead Trump like a lot of the white pillars do, that doesn't help him get back on track. It just exacerbates the problems. But there is a big movement out there. It's a minority, but they're very vocal, that if you call out any of this, you're a traitor and you're on the Qatari payroll, or you're on the Iranian or Pakistani payroll. I've been accused by a bunch of talk show hosts, as you call them, influencers of that. And I've fired back at these people, and they're very upset now, saying, well, why are you criticizing us? And I'm talking about people like Tim Pool, cries foul after attacking Alex Jones. InfoWars founder calls on Timcast host to come clean on a secret meeting with Netanyahu and Israeli operatives. And then Tim's like, oh, it wasn't secret. Yeah, it was. It got exposed last year. Then you admitted you had it. So that's coming up. Meanwhile, humanoid robots could soon patrol U.S. southern border to combat weaponized migrant flows. Bizarre, the world we live in. Meanwhile, in Germany, they're saying that girls should not have long hair or wear dresses, and if they braid their hair, that's a symbol of right-wing extremism and evil. Talk about the war on men and women, the war on culture, the war on humanity. A shocking number of Democrats now approve of socialism, according to a new CBS News poll. New national movement by the Democrats to legalize abortion even after the baby's born even shocks some Democrats. The new radical abortion law in Massachusetts is so extreme that even some Democrats are speaking out against it. Connecticut amended law to avoid religious exemption suits so they can forcibly inject you. Adam Carolla brutally destroys Chris Cuomo after Cuomo texted him upset over a retweet of his own COVID words about how we were all criminals, we didn't take shots. Carolla said, perhaps you should have shut the F up back then. Meanwhile, ABC files First Amendment lawsuit alleging FCC claiming Trump administration retaliatory campaign against its free speech. And yeah, we don't want to become the Democrats and censor things we don't like. And quite frankly, Jimmy Kimmel, Colbert, all those guys had no ratings and no viewings to begin with. Basically, almost nobody watching. Why would you then obsess over it and try to take them off the air? When the Democrats did that to us, it wasn't right. We shouldn't do that to them. Plus, no one's really listening to them. It turns them into cause celebs. So that's just some of what we've got for you today. Oh, and the establishment's mad. Do you want Israel running the U.S.? Do what Israel tells you. Graffiti on U.S. Air Force jet suggests troops think war isn't for America, and it's temporary graffiti written in the dust on the F-16s and other aircraft. But that's got the establishment extremely, extremely angry. Now, I'm sitting here looking at all of this news, and I'm asking myself, what is it I want to get into first? There's a lot more I didn't mention. And it just hits me that we are in this train wreck. It's a slow-motion train wreck, and it's only going to get more intense. And so much of the problems are already baked into where we are that we need to continue to try to mitigate these crises and get governmental corrections and corporate individual corrections. But at the same time, those of us that have been right about all this, now we've been positioned for a designed global collapse, need to just get to the point of getting out front of it and pointing out we were right, we were correct, and what to expect next. So when all this carnage unfolds, economic, cultural, militarily, that when the globalists have all of their horrible solutions from the crisis they've created to bring in an even deeper level of their control, people understand it's a trap and speak out against it. So I've been working really hard to stop this designed economic collapse. I've been working really hard to get grassroots support to put pressure on the administration. But unfortunately, they have not course corrected on the main issues. And so We need to have a larger discussion about how we're going to deal with what's going to happen, because I've had economists on the show, I agree with them, who were optimistic, you know, a year ago that things would be turned around. But now with this war, 6 months in, and what it's already triggered and done, we have to start really getting prepared for what's going to happen, and it's not going to be pretty. Just the UN's own reports, and I don't just believe them out of hand. I study all this myself, and their reports are pretty accurate for Dead Reckoning, because then they're the ones that are helping orchestrate it, and then they'll get all the money for UNICEF and the tens of billions donated and the Live Aid programs. They're predicting 50-plus million people are going to starve to death conservatively next year around the world, on top of the normal 20 million or so that starve to death, just because half the fertilizer that Africa gets comes out of the Strait of Hormuz, causes chain reactions around the world. More than half the world population is living literally at a subsistence level near starvation. With this exacerbation alone, that is going to kill a bunch of people. Then they're going to have the military-aged men, who are the strongest and the meanest, try to flee into Europe. That's already been predicted. You're already seeing record-level flows. A lot of that's being orchestrated and directed by the Islamic groups that control North Africa. But you're going to see massive economic, cultural, military refugees that are going to be weaponized and directed at the West at levels we've never seen. And if you think what you've seen has been bad so far, you ain't seen nothing yet. And that's only one aspect of this. Then we're going to have conflicts that arise and are sparked out of this, and regional wars that are already simmering, and some of them burning brightly, will explode. And then that will cause larger regional wars. And you see the chain reaction of the NATO-Russia war in Ukraine. You see the expansion of the Iran war into a regional war. You see all these new alliances forming. Trump and Netanyahu are really playing with fire, allowing the Strait of Hormuz to be closed by triggering this war. But it got the green light by powers that be above them. That's why BlackRock is so happy, because this will cause the world economic collapse they want. The only question is, how bad will it be? And then out of that, they have the unlimited fiat currency to loan everyone. And out of this crisis will come out the new central bank digital currency, the new global social credit score, the mark of the beast system that they're openly promoting and pushing, that Bill Gates and the communist Chinese have designed at the United Nations and is now standardized and prepared and ready to be rolled out. And Bill Gates gave an interview 3 weeks ago. He rarely pops up now, talking about how the rollout is imminent. And BlackRock's Larry Fink has talked about how great this war is for their whole globalist system. So they've gone from being very depressed a couple of years ago and a year ago to being bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, because they're getting what they want. And that's why when we see the people that are on the, quote, Trump train, who are either mad at Trump and against the war and obsessed just with Israel, or the other side that's pro-war and pro-Israel, many of them on the Israeli payroll, that is only one level of the debate. And they boil it down to, are you for the Muslims or are you for Israel, when it's much more complex than that. And above that, at the international banking level, they are extremely pleased with where all this has gone, because it is going to destroy the average individual's income and savings. It is going to put countries that were on the verge of economic collapse and having their credit ratings downgraded like we have been, it's going to push us with our $40 trillion of debt, and it's a lot bigger than that in reality, right over the edge. We were in bankruptcy, basically. He just hadn't announced it yet. Trump had real plans that really were going to work. They got sabotaged at every level by the courts and by people even in his administration that wrote the tariffs. And now this war and other conflicts on top of that, and the debt they've created, and the destruction of energy production, not just in the Middle East, but in obviously Russia and in Ukraine, has triggered a chain reaction. So we are in a lot of trouble. And I am tomorrow's news today. This is not a hard prediction to make. We're already here. We predicted that these actions were going to have this effect, and now they have. And so we need to start having a debate about how bad this is going to be, what it's going to look like, the type of domino effects it's going to trigger, not just the migrant flows, not just the mass death, not just the increase in conflict and wars and regional wars and larger potential wars, but also not just here but around the Western world, the communists, the socialists with heavy establishment funding are positioning themselves to push socialism and communism during this economic collapse we're entering, to position themselves as the saviors. And so now we're in a real fight during this extremely dangerous, destructive, painful period we're now entering, to really get the word out, to explain to everybody exactly who engineered this, how they did it, and how their solutions will only get us deeper into it as a form of economic slavery and control. So now I'll go into these articles I just mentioned in a little bit more detail. Sea of red, futures slide as market wakes up to soaring bond yields and diesel prices. U.S. futures are a sea of red, as Bloomberg describes it, in early trading. My way of saying that in the headline I wrote today for AlexJonesLive.com was all the lights are flashing red. U.S. futures are a sea of red, as Bloomberg described it, in early trading, as thin summer volume persists with the wrong kind of inflation coming in the fore and Monday's tech sell-off weighing on sentiment despite bullish AI news. Yeah, the AI bubble, as I told you a month ago, I believe is beginning to break within the next few months. I think we're already in the beginning of the popping of the bubble in slow motion. My opinion, it may be reversed, but that's where I think we're at. It's not 100% prediction, but if I was a betting man, I'd say it's going to bust officially by very good chance you have a dot-com bubble crash 2.0, AI bubble crash. I'd say by late October for sure. But we'll see. We'll see if Alex Jones was right again. Not happy about it, even though it's fiat, even though they're corrupt, even though they have liability protection, even though it's going to send a chain reaction through everything. I'm not happy about that, because even though it's corrupt and out of control, it's the tree we're sitting in. The reason stock bonds disconnect is finally being reappraised, with U.S. futures lower across the board. S&P 500 futures fell 0.4, with NASDAQ 100 contracts down 1.1, and it just goes through the numbers. NVIDIA dropped 1.8 as the cost of production in its debt against default closed in on high reached last month. Basically, all the debts are coming due. The bubbles are starting to pop, the sub-bubbles. Yields seem to be reacting to the combination of energy prices, the deteriorating U.S. fiscal situation, elevated credit insurance, and BOJ, JPY dynamics, which are all driving term perma higher. And then you've got all the crude oil at $85 a barrel, diesel exploding above $100. For the first time, Brent trading in oil hitting 91. You can see the futures graph here. It's not good. Chip makers and their AI-related firms slide, weighing on U.S. stock futures as risk of sentiment sets in. Abercrombie & Fitch is down 2% after they were downgraded. A bunch of pharmaceutical companies are in trouble. AON slips 1%. It just goes on and on. I could read this for hours. The Middle East is clearly re-escalating again, and long-term interest rates are rising, and these things that end up corroding the value of equities. Meanwhile, agricultural commodities prices break out as J.P. Morgan's food crisis warning gets louder. You don't need to be an analyst at J.P. Morgan to know. You cut off a third of the world's fertilizer, and that's just the Strait of Hormuz. A bunch of others have been disrupted. You got the UN and ESG governments following the WF ESG program cutting back on farming and ranching forcefully. Quote, we've got to get rid of half the farming or people will starve, John Kerry 3 years ago. They're deliberately undermining and dynamiting the economy. And the basic energy production and animal and human energy, which is called food. It's an attack on the world economy. J.P. Morgan's analyst warning last week that the next global food crisis could begin as early as next year has been a major wake-up call for some, adding the growing voices of institutional desk warning that the food inflation is poised to reaccelerate. It's guaranteed. Already look at a lot of farmers in the U.S. aren't planting or have cut back because of the diesel costs so much, and they can get fertilizer, but it costs way too much. Remaining extra watchful about agricultural prices, Bloomberg report earlier that U.S. corn futures moved higher after preliminary results from the Pro Farmer Crop Tour indicated weaker than expected yields in part of a critical growing belts across the Midwest. The Crop Tour has somewhat buoyed markets so far, considering the expected lower yields and unfavorable weather. And then, of course, it gets into the rest of the graphs on production and cost of diesel and cost of fertilizer and all the different trends that that shows. These are the red lights flashing. Foreign holdings of U.S. Treasuries fall in June, led by Japan, U.K., China, data shows. Foreign holdings of U.S. Treasuries slid in June. Data from the Treasury Department showed on Monday, led by declines in holdings from Japan, the U.K., and China. Holdings of U.S. Treasuries slipped to $9,299 trillion in June from $9.371 trillion in the previous month, but compared with last year, Treasuries owned by foreigners were up 2.3. Japan holdings fell $1.16 trillion, down 2.3 from May. And it just goes through all the numbers. China slashed treasuries. Other countries slashed it, the UK, you name it. U.S. corporate bonds are having issues. U.S. housing starts plummet in July. Remember, the numbers are always about a month behind. After housing starts exploded higher in June, driven by a massive rebound in multifamily units, July was expected to see a reflexive decline of 5.9. Things were considerably worse, with U.S. housing starts slumping 12.4. Big problems in the consumer market and retail, showing major slides across the board with online retailers. But Trump says everything's okay because we're declaring the Strait of Hormuz Strait of America. I get calling it the Gulf of America. Really is for the Americas. It's a fun little stunt. But calling it the Strait of America when you don't even control it is really a sick joke. And again, in Japan, as Japan bond yields soar, unrealized losses at life insurers hit $200 million, mainly because of the massive increase in suicide, which is the main business model on average of Japanese families, where one of the family members will commit suicide so the other family can live and stay in their house. Not good. And again, absolutely unprecedented diesel crack spread hits record as refined products crisis arrives. What do the farmers use? Diesel. Brent and WTI futures remain below $100 a barrel on Tuesday morning, partly suppressed by government released strategic oil reserves in the global markets. But the more serious issue is building downstream with the Russia-Ukraine war. Russia's cut all its diesel exports and energy infrastructure, because now the refined diesel is running out. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We've got other stuff we're going to shift into on the other side. But this is a big deal we need to focus on. Stay with us. I don't have to sell you on bovine colostrum. Almost everybody knows for decades and decades, doctors recommend it to patients. It's been all the rage. It's the first 2 weeks of milk that come from a cow or any other mammal. It's not normal milk. It's not white. It's clear. It's full of all these peptides and amino acids and growth factors and things that literally accelerate tissue repair and so much more. But the issue is our bovine colostrum is a private label of the top rated brand in the country. They let us put our label on it and we sell it for a little bit less than it's sold in stores. And then you're funding our operation. It's a total 360 win. But here's where I dropped the ball. I've been promoting this bovine colostrum for almost a year since our sponsor, Big Lee, came out with it. And I just basically talk about, hey, it's great for your hair, great for your skin, you know, great for all of that. But that's just what you see on the surface. Yeah, your fingernails are thicker. They grow quicker. Women, you know, since the 60s have been taking it. But if it's doing that to the outside, what is it doing to the inside? So I wanted to just read some of the things that's in bovine colostrum and explain to you how ours is four times stronger than the average stuff on the market and at least twice as strong as leading competitors. It's cold pressed. It's never been homogenized either or boiled or heated up to 250 degrees. So it keeps the cofactors alive. It's super concentrated. One little scoop from the powder is your daily intake, and it's amazing. But now our sponsors come out with these great naturally flavored grape gummies that has a full day concentrated allowance in each gummy. So let me now read to you just some of the ingredients and what it does. The vast majority of colostrum products, again, are flavorless, but the key is they are only 10 to 20% IgG. Ours is 40% IgG. That's double to quadruple the potency of the competitors. And it's in a delicious, all-natural, grape-flavored gummy. So it habituates it. People love it and want to keep taking it. Immune Health IgG and Lactoferrin Defense. IgG immunoglobulins are the body's primary antibody defense. Colostrum's natural lactoferrin is a potent antimicrobial protein that binds iron and inhibits pathogen growth. Together, they prime and strengthen the immune system year-round, starting with the gut, and is good for all the rest of the body and the organs. Gut support integrity. Colostrum contains growth factors IGF-1 and EGF. These help repair and maintain the gut lining. This makes it especially valuable for anyone dealing with leaky gut, digestive discomfort, or looking to optimize nutrient absorption. It's great for young people, but really essential for old folks. Because as you get older, the gut absorbs less and less. The bioactive peptides and growth factors in colostrum support faster tissue repair and lean muscle recovery after exercise, making these gummies a smart addition to any active lifestyle or fitness routine. And again, this is a 40% concentration. You're not going to find that anywhere else. Each gummy is 600 milligram concentrate of the highest quality bovine colostrum. That's not some little petty dose. That is a big dose that will give you big results. And of course, the colostrum are from good old cows right here in the USA. Ladies and gentlemen, if you love the powder, you're going to love the gummies. It's an incredible product. What it does for you internally is even bigger than what it does for your hair, your nails, and your skin. So get the powder and get the grape gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air. Be healthier. Have a better life. A true 360 win. Thank you for your support. And the gummies are discounted for a limited time out of the gates. Again, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
They built a system that could protect the world or end it. They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Gaslighting, 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 gaslighting.
And now, our feature presentation.
And now, meet the star of our show.
Alex Jones is back.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Wow!
Wow.
What happened to the gay frogs?
You promised me they would be here! I want to see the gay frogs!
Are never satisfied.
On this live Tuesday transmission. Remember, this is a participation sport. It's an information war. Please share the URL, alexjoneslive.com, for all the news articles, special reports, live feeds of the shows. Can all be found at alexjoneslive.com. Be sure and follow us on X at RealAlexJones and AJN Live on X, as well as rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. That's Revolutionary Act. Now, I'm going to talk about the X algorithm being changed. Now the number one news and website in the world, thanks to Elon taking over 3.5-4 years ago. And what happened over the weekend and the aftermath of that, that is a wonderful window or keyhole into the world of Israeli operatives and the propaganda they engage in. So just to recap briefly, over the weekend, X did big algorithm changes, back-end changes. There were some bugs. All of the live show feeds, entertainment shows, sports shows, news shows, political shows, saw over a 90% reduction. It wouldn't even post the live feed up there where you could see it. And I said, I think this is a bug. That's what most people thought it was. We went and looked at the different forums and, you know, large contributors and people, what they were saying. I talked to my social media people. They said it's probably just a bug. We did reports on it, sent it to Elon Musk, you know, at Elon Musk on X, and they got it fixed by Monday morning. And I came out and said, okay, it was a glitch like we thought. Great. Because Elon, we hope you didn't buy X to just later start censoring it. We didn't accuse him of that. I noticed Sunday night when we really saw this happening, and I did some reports saying we think it's a bug, but it may not be. Maybe somebody that Elon doesn't know inside his system is using this upgrade to engage in some chicanery. We're not sure. And suddenly, instantly, all these influencers and all these talk show hosts and people like The Quartering, who's going to be joining us next hour, have a debate with him, Jeremy, they came out and said, oh, your Pakistani bots, your Qatari bots weren't busy today. Everyone's sick of you. That's why you lost 90% of your viewers on the streams overnight. And I saw, like, the vast majority of the comments, all these, you know, known Israeli regurgitators, not saying they're all on the Israeli payroll, but they certainly all parrot the same thing, you know, pro-war, whatever Trump does is great. Anybody that opposes is a traitor. It's on the Iranian or Qatari payroll. I noticed they all flooded in within minutes of me after the show posting a short video saying, hey, we've had time to look at this. Looks like it's a glitch, but we need to investigate. What do you know? What do you think? I said to the other users, other live streamers, they said, no, we're all seeing it too. And a lot of them were political. And so then on Monday, an intensified news articles, other people attacking me, Tim Pool came out and said, buddy, you were pro-Trump for 10 years. You turned against him. You know, you basically stabbed him in the back. And so what do you expect? That's when it was known that it was a glitch and it was in the update and that they fixed it and the numbers went back to normal for normal, you know, size people tuning in. And so I just got upset about that because I've known Tim a long time. I've been nothing but nice to Tim. You know, he's done some swarmy kind of backhanded things here and there. He's kind of known for that. But let's just say this. I think of Tim Pool as an overall talented, smart guy in many ways, but he rides the fence a lot. I agree with some things, disagree with others. And it just pissed me off when yesterday evening I saw him when it was admitted to be a glitch, X had admitted it was a glitch, it had been corrected, to then say, no, you're just not popular. Because I knew that was an Israeli bot talking point, so whether or not he's on the payroll or not, and boy, there's some bad signs I'll get to in a moment, in meeting secretly with Netanyahu last year, he was regurgitating that at me when I'm supposedly his friend. And I had reservations about whether he was really my friend or not, but I just said, because it's personal, I don't like it, and so I'm going to talk about it. Basically, he was dancing on my imaginary fake political grave, taking reality and inverting it. It's ultra unpopular to have this Iran war. It's ultra unpopular to be Israel first. It's ultra unpopular with Ben Shapiro, a shadow of his former self and viewers. You have millions of views per video. Now it's like 5,000 on average. Mark Levin was never that popular, but he's a shadow of his former self. Trump threw away his old real OG supporters and absolutely came in the last year or so and publicly wedded himself to all these never Trumpers. And then I've seen people like Tim Pool and others since he met with Netanyahu last year, clearly when I see clips of him, align himself closer to all of this. And then to see him join in on that talking point that we know clearly with the $1.3 billion the Knesset passed alone, not to mention all the other billionaire, you know, Israeli and Jewish money, that this was a hit job. And so that's what pissed me off. So I simply said, hey, buddy, you're the one that got caught meeting secretly with Netanyahu in a propaganda meeting right after he announced the Eighth Front in the Eighth Front War against the American people's minds and the Eighth Front War to primary anybody that isn't for this war and the Eighth Front War to come in and take over the Pentagon with the current NDAA. You have explaining to do because he was a friend and because I don't like to infight. When I saw that last year, I was pretty shocked by it. But I even apologized to people last night on X when I posted some videos while I was driving home, multitasking, that I should have made a bigger deal about it. I mean, I think I mentioned it. I said I thought it didn't look good, but I left it at that. So that's the reality. Then, and I'll show you all the receipts here in a moment, then Tim Pool came out today, just a few hours ago, and said, Alex Jones got the call. I've never done anything to Alex. I've been a friend. I've been his defender. I did nothing to him. No mention of him saying, no, you've lost your audience because the war is so popular and worshiping Israel is so popular and all the horrible things Trump's doing are so popular, which they're not. No mention of how he attacked me. He literally did post after post after post, we'll show you some of them, saying, why are you doing this? Why did you attack your friend? Why did you stab me in the back out of a clear blue sky? I attacked you because I was already guilty for not making a big deal about your secret Israeli meeting with the prime minister. And I attacked you because enough is enough, and I've already had some issues and some things I had problems with that I held my tongue because I'm not somebody that goes around starting fights with other broadcasters and podcasters and journalists and pundits and researchers. Notice I didn't say influencer. I hate that word that they've told us we are, and I'll explain why on that in a moment. If you understand philosophy, that name is a pejorative, is an insult. So Trump has a 25 to 26 to 27% approval rating, depending on the poll, including internal White House polls, when it comes to this war and his Israel first stance and the economy. His overall approval rating is the lowest it's ever been. It was 57 16 months ago. It is now at 33. And here's just another Reuters poll. There's hundreds of these showing these. I don't just mindlessly believe polls. I've talked to White House insiders. I've talked to pollsters that had meetings with Trump last year and this year. They are extremely concerned. So is J.D. Vance. And I talk to people on the street and my listeners, and they're pissed off at Trump. So the idea where they do this high school thing or junior high thing where like, oh, you're not cool. You're not at the Howard Lutnick, Jerry Epstein table. Ooh, your audience is totally, you know, gone away because you're not pro-Israel running the Pentagon and not pro-Israel running our foreign policy. Oh, you're not cool. We are. You're unpopular. All the numbers show that. Ben Shapiro's destroyed himself. Mark Levin's destroyed himself. A bunch of you've really hurt yourself getting on board with this. And then, obviously, the Israeli operatives put out the message. Trump's head, one of his head speechwriters and head of all the social media, a couple months ago went on Tucker. They're trying to fire him over it. And said, I got offered $22 million by the Israelis last year to put out nothing but pro-war propaganda and pro-Israel takeover of the U.S. propaganda. And I told them no. They were trying to buy off Trump's social media head without even telling Trump. That's espionage. So we know this is going on. $1.3 billion and counting, they have officially passed in their government to engage in their eighth front, in the eighth front war here in America. And we have a compilation that Brandon put together. We're going to be playing here in a few minutes. I had him make before the beginning of the show. So let's get that ready, please. Thank you. Give me an aye-aye on that, because I forgot to tell you he made that. Just give me a roger, roger, roger. We have it. Okay, we'll go to that in a moment. So, a lot of stuff going on here. I give the crew incredible amounts of stuff to do, and they do a great job getting it done. I forgot to remind them, though, that we had that put together. Compilation of him with the eight-front war and brainwashing American people and, you know, let's use the same energy we used on Hamas with exploding pagers on the American people. You're going to hear that from the Israel firsters, who are definitely making their move on taking over the United States as we speak. They admit themselves. And so that's why I'm obsessed with Israel now, like I was on China. China is now not the number one thing trying to take over. It is Israel. And no one can deny that. And the Pentagon Defense Intelligence Agency came out a few months ago and said Israel is now the number one espionage threat and intelligence threat to the United States. So notice, though, they don't have the bots to attack the Pentagon because they know no one's going to buy that. They just act like it's only me saying it and then hope they can spin things. So here's the headline on AlexJonesLive.com. Tim Pool cries foul after attacking Alex Jones. InfoWars founder calls on Timcast host to come clean on secret meetings with Netanyahu and Israeli officials. And then all the bots, the same known bots, came in and influencers, that's what they are, shills, and said, oh, he announced the meeting. It was public. It was on TV. He had Netanyahu on the podcast. None of that happened. It came out a month after the meeting in a Jewish newspaper in Israel about the secret meeting. Tim got confronted with it. And he said, yeah, it's secret Chatham House rules. That is on the record. I will show you the articles. I will show you where it was done. And then you can go read under all my videos on this. I posted three of them last night. The comments everywhere, oh, it's secret, but we know about it, Alex. You're crazy. Trying to gaslight other readers thinking you're stupid. And it's all the same comment, all the same garbage, just like Tim attacked me days into it when it was known it was just a bug at X saying, no, it's you. You're not popular, to try to create that illusion. I don't need Qatari bots. I don't need Pakistani bots or Israeli bots like you do. I have a popular show decade after decade after decade. It's been number one for years at a time. Confirmed, reported, even the New York Times admitted it. So I was around when you guys were in diapers fighting the tyranny. So let's continue. Overhead shot, please. Here's some headlines for you. April 11th last year, Israel Prime Minister secretly met with conservative media personalities. And it goes through all the articles, the admissions, all of it right there. It was secret. Netanyahu, Israel's fighting eight-front battle for truth. Newsmax. Tim Pool hits back at critics over white. That's another different article. Netanyahu pushes back on anti-Israel trends in meeting with podcaster. That's the Jewish insider that first broke it. Tim Pool confirms meeting with Netanyahu to discuss anti-Semitism in pro-Trump spaces and how to deal with it and counter it. That means being against the war, being against murdering everybody in Gaza. Tim Pool confirms meeting with Netanyahu to discuss anti-Semitism in pro-Trump spaces. He didn't have him on the podcast. He kept it secret. He said, I won't say what was there. Chatham House rules, meaning secret. The meeting was secret, and what was said was secret. But now they're spinning it like I told you. It was public. Had him on the podcast. That's the reality. The news outlet Jewish Insider broke the story in April 2025 detailing that Tim Pool, along with other podcasters and media figures, right after the Eighth Front War was announced, met with the Israel Prime Minister Netanyahu at the Blair House in D.C., led by the former White House press secretary, Sean Spicer. These fellows in Clip 16 do a good breakdown we'll be getting to in a little while. But here's Tim Pool's response after it was all come out that was just a X glitch that I said it was, probably. My honest opinion is you can't go pro-Trump for 10 years, then Trump-critical, and be surprised if your audience drops off. It didn't drop off. I've been blocked and censored before. No, it was a glitch. It was for everybody. After this was confirmed for over a day, he does the cheap shot, joining in on the talking point. Here's the article at alexjoneslive.com if you want to see my reports on it. Why did Tim Pool meet secretly with Benjamin Netanyahu? And has he received money from Israel or any of their subsidiaries? Have you ever worked for the Israelis? And are you currently working for the Israelis? Have you ever been a communist? Are you currently a communist? We had Alex Jones on several years ago. He said this today when he was banned from every platform. Yeah, because you could monetize it. YouTube deleted the episode on some BS reason. So I called Michael Malice and Alex Jones immediately and said, we're doing the show again. Yeah, good for you. Alex got the call. That's the simple explanation. The call. The call is known to be getting the Israeli call. But he spins it around. Who'd I get a call from there, buddy? The Easter Bunny? Said, I got a call from who? Benjamin Netanyahu, like you? Tim, your post is some of the greatest unintentional comedy ever. X had a major update. X had a huge hug bugs, which is a new word. That was a mistake. I typed it while I was at a red light this morning. But hug bugs is when it's an accidental mistake trying to make the site better. That's a new term we're coining. X had a major update. X had huge hug bugs, which are bugs that censor by accident that were meant well. It's a new thing I just defined. That's a hug bug. It's a bug, but it wasn't meant. It was meant to be good, but it was bad. It's a hug bug. I said, I think it's a bug. I said, Elon Musk, please fix it. They did, and then you basically tried to celebrate on my imaginary political grave. That's why I fired back, not because I got a call from the Easter Bunny. And here's everybody else reporting on the massive slam that they saw in the algorithm. You can read all the other articles. Netanyahu pushes back on anti-Israel trends in meeting with podcasters. Secret meeting. There it all is. So that's the reality of what went on here. That's the reality of what I said and what I did. And, you know, one thing that the neocons and their minions and the cat turd types do is, if you're a radio listener, you're like, what's that? It's a guy on X that just worships everything Trump does, questions nothing. Thinks it's a great idea that Trump says, I don't care about the American people's plight or any economic problems. All I care about is the war. Quote. These guys are just there to gaslight and make you think standing by your morals and standing by your integrity is a bad thing. And they always say, oh, you want to be on the Trump train, but you're not. And so when I say, oh, Trump did something good here, they go, wait, you're not allowed to be on the Trump train. I don't want to be on the Trump train. I want to be as far away from Trump as possible. It's an embarrassment what he's become. But when he does good, I'm going to promote it. When he does bad, I'm going to try to block it. So we don't want to be on the Trump train. I'm 1776. I was never MAGA. I support Make America Great Again. But how about Make America Free and Prosperous and Godly again and Strong again? That's how you become great. Greatness is the byproduct of being moral, engaged, strong, informed, godly. Having strong families. So a lot of folks are like warning them, hey, the popular folks are anti-Israel running America and anti-war. Why is Trump going to super unpopular people? This is self-destructive. You should be nice to Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson. You should get them back. There's no getting me back because I was never there. I was never a creature of Trump. And it hit me this morning. We're not dealing with, are you MAGA or are you America first? We're dealing with Trump first or America first. And everything Trump's doing now sometimes aligns with making America first, but most of the time it's about making Trump first. So I'm not Israel first, China first, Trump first. The Democrats are Satan first. We know they're bad. But our camp, our beachhead, our people is this Republican Party. And so it's ours, and we're in a fight with the Israel firsters who want to run our Pentagon and the Republican Party and have said they are and have said they're done with the Democrats because they're pro-Islamic and communist and pure evil and are a long-term bigger threat than Israel's self-destructiveness that's going on right now. But you can be opposed to Israel's behavior and be opposed to the leftists. So I'm going to come back with this clip where these folks talk about the fact that it's really a mistake to come after us. The Israel firsters in Trump's ear admittedly got him to attack us, and a lot of people overcorrected and went totally against Trump and are even having Hunter, you know, Biden on and doing facelifts for him, and I've said that's a mistake. I didn't get mad because he called me low IQ or stuff like that. I got upset because of the policies. I don't care about being called names. In fact, I love it. Got a lot of viewers and listeners out of that. No, I'm upset because I'm about policy and getting things done. We're going to go to break. We're going to come back with this. I'll have a debate with the quartering, who accused me of being a Pakistani operative with no proof. But first, I want to tell you something about that's very exciting. These are super high quality. These are super low cost. I bought this same unit at Cabela's for $39. I've got a bunch of them in my house. I've got one in my office. New ready mount gun magnet. That's got a N52 rare earth magnet rated to hold up to, we have B-roll that by the way, there it is. The N52 rare earth magnet rated to hold up to 10 pounds when properly installed. You can get these right now, limited supply, for $19.95. That is close to half the price they are in stores. If you're a VIP, $15.99. It'll go back soon to regular $29.95. That's still cheaper than stores. It's an amazing unit. Fits all major handguns. It's adjustable. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and keep us on the air. Thanks for your support. Get your ready mount gun magnet now at thealexjonesstore.com.
At last, it's here. Bring it into the docking bay. Stack them all in my chambers at once. I now have all the AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter shower heads from the Alex Jones store.
There's something about this water I feel kind of funny. Hey, do you want to hang out tonight?
These stormtroopers are not warriors. They are vessels. We keep them full of chemicals to keep them under control. Like the dark side itself, it dulls the mind. It fractures the will.
Drink your water, troopers. I am sending you to the desert planet of Tatooine. We must crush the rebel force.
Dude, I think I'm gay. Me too. Let's go back to the Sith and cuddle. I thought you'd never ask.
Turn around now and get back out there. These are your orders.
They're turning the frogs gay. Don't let them turn you next. Ha ha ha. You have to admit that Alex Jones is funny.
AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
you're standing there tongue-tied. You better look at some brother.
So, Tim Pool's got some really big balls to respond to me this morning and say, Alex Jones got the call to attack you. Dude, you're not important enough for some government that you're trying to imply I'm paid by to come out and attack you. You weighed in when I'm trying to get a glitch on XFix that I was confirmed to be right about and said that I deserved it, that I'd actually lost my audience because freedom isn't popular and being against this war isn't popular, when all the polls, all the numbers, all the facts show it. Ben Shapiro, all of them have destroyed their careers, unveiling themselves, uncloaking as Israeli operatives. You got $1.3 billion the Knesset passed last year to pay for brainwashing in America. You have the Israelis trying to take over the NDAA, the Defense Authorization Act. You've got them primarying people and bragging about it. And you have the Jewish insider last year about the secret meeting. And then Tim Pool gets asked about it. And Netanyahu talks about it. And they admit that Netanyahu called and asked him to be there specifically because he was going to expose Qatari agents. Overhead shot, please. He was going to expose the Qatari agents with no proof. And the guy I got coming on next from the quartering, he said in a post, no, it's because your Pakistani bots were asleep. And he'll say it's a joke, but it's not. I have never taken any foreign government money. I've never taken money from the Israelis, the Republican Party, Democrat Party, anybody. Back when I had YouTube, right before they banned me, it was crazy because we were like number one, billions of views, you know, every month or so. And boom, 20,000 spent by the Air Force, 5,000 by the Marines. I was like, this is cool. There were news articles. What are the Marines and Air Force doing? So yeah, the U.S. government, without me asking, because I was wide open on advertising, you know, I had the thing where I wouldn't select it. That's the only government ever put any money into me that I know of. It was some magically through some circuitous route, maybe. Remember when they had a Russian company bought part of a file sharing site where you give them your files, they give you your files, you upload them, and Tim Pool that came out was getting some Russian money. And when he came out and said, I didn't know I was getting Russian money, I believed him because I know how that stuff works. I never did one of those type contracts because I knew that kind of stuff was involved. So I never got money from the Russians like Tim Pool. I've never gotten money from the Israelis. I got money from the Air Force and Marines. And it became a big national scandal. You can look it up. Oh, God, the left's like, look, what's he doing? Any money? We had giant viewership on YouTube, and we had a huge audience of young males. That's their target influencers. So that's where we are. That's the reality. So I got to tell you, Tim, you got big old huevos rancheros there, pal, saying, I got a call. Who'd I get a call from, pal? Because I didn't meet in secret. I didn't meet in secret with Netanyahu. No, I didn't. I showed you the headlines. Met in secret. Oh, he said, Alex got the call. That's the simple explanation. Really? Did I get a call from Benjamin Netanyahu to come meet with him secretly like you did? Is that what happened? Is that what went on? I want to know. I want to know what you're talking about, Tim. I want you to answer the question. Netanyahu, Israel fighting eight-front battle. The eight fronts here in the U.S. for our minds. Netanyahu pushes back on anti-Israel trends and meeting with podcasters. Israel Prime Minister secretly met with conservative media personalities. And then Tim tries to spin it and says, oh, I announced the meeting. It's just secret what we talked about. No, the meeting was secret, and the details are secret, and you need to come clean, especially now. I felt a little guilty going after you, but you attacking me for no reason was personal, so I'm tired of putting up with crap. You know, it was a long day. I was up at 4 a.m. I was still working at night. If I wasn't tired yesterday, I wouldn't have probably shot back, but I'm glad I did now, buddy, because I want you to tell me who I got a call from, who I'm getting money from. I'll tell you I'm getting money from the viewers and listeners that support us and get great supplements and great T-shirts and great knives and everything else at thealexjonesstore.com. That's who finances me, the viewers and listeners of this broadcast. And the implication that freedom isn't popular is bullcrap, and you know it. So I'm on your ass now, Pool, and I know a lot more stuff I think I may just bring out today.
Ladies and gentlemen, Big Lee has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this. But minbenzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
Hey, AOC, I'll give you to the count of three before Gary, my velociraptor, rips your face off. One, two. Oops. Goblin Force.
Fly, Blackie, fly.
That stupid son of a bitch Soros is building a goblin army, and if we don't do something about it, everyone will be killed and or raped to death in no specific order. Faith in the Lord, belief in one another, healthy snacks, and friendship are non-negotiable if we want to drive the goblins back from whence they came. Capiche? Goblin Force!
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Well, I've challenged Andrew Wilson to debate me in the last week. He won't even return the call back to my producer, but he calls my son up asking what's going on because he knows him. I guarantee you, and I'm challenging right now, Tim Pool to come on and debate me. If there's no money involved, he obviously won't do it. If there is some money, he can't control himself. I'm sure he will. If he thinks there's like a nickel or something involved. But Jeremy from the Quartering will come on and debate me. And I like Jeremy. He's been on his show off and on for years. And I appreciate him coming on. But I think the main thing he does is hides behind that he's just crap posting or it's just a joke. But he said maybe the Pakistani bots are asleep when I was talking about the big live streaming glitch on X. It was confirmed to be a glitch that they fixed by Monday morning. Alex is a daily viewer. I have personally tuned out since you've been on this Jews killed Charlie Kirk nonsense. I'll tune back in when you come back to your senses. Well, again, they're all playing on that glitch with me pointing it out that was affecting all live streamers, saying you're not popular. No, it's the war. It's the economy in deep trouble. It's Israel trying to take control of our Congress and trying to run our foreign policy. That's what's unpopular. I don't want my main issue to be Israel. I'm all over the Muslims. I'm not in the red-green alliance. But Israel is bragging that it's primarying people in Congress. It's bragging that Netanyahu wrote the subsection of the NDAA 219 that literally merges them with our military. So that's where I stand. And I'm going to play a short clip before we go to Jeremy of The Quartering, thequartering.com, on X, The Quartering, on Rumble, The Quartering, popular show. And I do think, I did watch this morning while I was working out part of it, him and Rex last night debating, and I'll tell Rex, I appreciate him defending me, but I think he's being a little mean, and I'm being, you know, we're obviously a little mean, all of us, but we can't be so mad at people we disagree with when we agree with them, I'd say, on 95% of stuff. And that's what I've been saying the whole time when Trump called me low IQ and burnout and all these attacks. That doesn't make me mad. It makes me mad that he's siding with Never Trumpers who have almost no viewers now, like Ben Shapiro, and it's going to make us lose the midterms. And the war is literally cutting off energy and the fertilizer. And now J.P. Morgan and others say we're going to have a global food crisis and mass migrant floods. I just think multi-level stages in. It's kind of a curse I have, I guess. It's how I think. Talk about 3D chess. We're doing it here. That's how we predict tomorrow's news today. But here's some reporters, breaking down the fact that it's very destructive to have the Israel First lobby come in, become Trump's brain, and attack everybody that questioned the war. And a lot of them got emotional and did overcorrect and basically have become Democrat apologists at some levels in all of this. But I'm not those people, and I'm not mad at them. I know why they overcorrected. I'm literally trying to defeat the globalists and the Red-Green Alliance and the Chi-Coms and the New World Order. And now in the power vacuum, we got the Israel trying to flood him with Netanyahu to take full control when he's so unpopular even in Israel. So here's clip 16, and we'll go to Jeremy of the Quartering.
So don't worry, Tucker, you can come back. Don't worry, Joe, you can come back. Don't worry, Marjorie, you can come back. Don't worry, Thomas, you can come back. Don't worry, Alex, you can come back. Don't worry, Marjorie, you can come back. What do all these people have in common? They're either OG MAGA or they represent what was truly new MAGA in 24, and they brought along the numbers that got us a winning coalition. You know, all of these other people out there, they dismiss these criticisms and these people fracturing off. You act like you had a 10-point popular vote win or something. You don't. And let me just give everybody a little bit of a stat, and then I'll kick it back to you, because this is real, and these people can destroy the Republican Party if they choose to do so. So instead of, you know, mocking them and making fun of them, you should be trying to figure out how to court them back, because you chase them away for a tiny parasitic sliver of the coalition. Neocons are nothing. They are they're literally dying right in front of our faces, people. Lindsey Graham just corked off out of nowhere. Mitch McConnell is still alive, but he's not, okay? They're literally dying in front of our face, and you're sacrificing the future coalition, the future of America, our future ability to win elections for these dinosaurs who are going extinct. And the truth is, the comet has been heading to Earth for years. They just never saw it coming because they're too stupid and too old to see it. So
I don't know who that guy is, but he's smart and I want him on. But I don't want to be back at the cool table. I mean, quite frankly, Democrats get back in there trying to put me in prison. I'm not course corrected on Trump because of that, but it's a nice fringe byproduct that they might not be as energetic to put me in prison as they were last time. But they will, because I'm going to come after him. I'm not going to do softball interviews with Hunter Biden. So bringing in Jeremy of the Quartering, popular YouTube and Rumble commentator with millions of subscribers and owner of the coffee brand, coffee.com, and a political coffee company seeking just to get people great coffee. So we're plugging for you, thequartering.com. And I like his show. I like his clips. Though, if he's not taking Israeli money and not meeting with the Prime Minister of Israel secretly, and I'm not saying he is, he certainly is regurgitating the points, or maybe he just agrees with them. So, Jeremy, good to have you on with us.
Thanks, Alex. It's an honor to be on your show, and I appreciate you taking the time to have me on today and to discuss perhaps a small disagreement that we have. I think you're right. We agree on 98% of things, and I'm looking forward to this opportunity to try and hopefully refocus people, because I think there's a lot of infighting right now going on the right, whatever form of the right you want to talk about. And, you know, after Charlie Kirk was assassinated brutally, it was a real opportunity to finally defeat the left. And instead, it seems like the right is more focused on infighting and certain foreign countries. And that's why I'm here. I want to try to hopefully realign together before complete disaster with the midterms and then the 2028 election.
I agree with that. And, you know, early on, because the trannies were saying they were going to kill him, and they celebrated, and George Zinn jumped up and, you know, diverted and all that, and a bunch of them turned around instantly cheering. They knew. I was like, no, I don't think it's Israel, and I still can't prove that. That's the majority of people, I think that. And then I get called an Israeli operative for saying, come on, let's look at everything here. But then I learned about Cash Patel killing investigations into foreign involvement from other sources, later directly from Joe Kent, the head of counterterrorism. And then just everything else, I don't know what happened. I just don't buy the story. And I even told TPUSA highest levels early on, I said, have you asked Cash Patel about the 10 post in the 3 days before in the town saying he'll be dead when he comes here? And then they celebrated it. And he said, yeah, we think they might have known, but we can't convict them, so we're not going to go after him. Well, there's the proof. So why did Cash Patel do that? So I'm in the middle here, not on purpose. I'm usually decisive, but this is such a quagmire, such chaos, that I've criticized a lot of the stuff Candace has said, Egyptian planes and Fort Huachuca, and I get called, you know, but then I've also criticized, you know, people saying, oh, no, it's all open and shut when there's a lot of problems. I mean, so that's where I'm at.
Well, I think where I'm coming from, and obviously the bot conversation was not about you. The comment was not about you specifically, and sometimes that gets lost in translation on places like X. It's about anything you know, Israel bad seems to be heavily bought on X. I have no evidence of that, but that's just
Forces pushing the anti. The Russians are, the Chinese are, Qatar is. Qatar spends $40 billion a year on propaganda. That's going on. So, yeah, that, I mean, definitely the anti-Israel stuff does get pushed.
Well, my concern is that it's being pushed to do exactly this. Now, I find this opportunity, which I'm very grateful for, as a blessing, because it's my hope that maybe we can work together to point out the fact that there very clearly is a concerted effort to divide the right. Now, you've gone from a staunch Trump supporter to somebody who's been critical of him. And I think many of the criticisms you've laid at Trump's, the Trump administration's feet is valid. I don't support Trump attacking you, calling you low IQ or whatever stupid personal attacks he gave out. And you're right to be mad about that. But I'm concerned that you're getting a little, like, when you tweeted, I believe Israel was involved, has that changed? Do you still believe that Israel was involved? Because I think that is the core wedge issue on the right now, when we should be focusing on the left, who is laying back and continues to be demonic and continues to want us dead. And they are just gathering power across this country. We see Muslims winning elections in Michigan. Texas is being overrun by Muslims. You guys are having more Islamic foot washing stations in there. People aren't talking about that. They're talking about, you know, whether or not the Jews killed Charlie Kirk.
Well, I am talking about Islamic foot washing stations and the giant Islamic invasion.
You are.
Of Spain. Yeah. And then when I do, people go, why aren't you just attacking Israel? I cover China. I cover Israel. I cover the UK trying to pass internet ID laws in the US. I'm against any foreign group manipulating our country.
Me too. But I think when you say stuff like people are mad at me when I say this, it makes me concerned that you're worried about what people think. And that's not the old Alex Jones I know. I think you are on the right path when you were debunking a lot of this crazy conspiracy theories. There's zero evidence connecting Israel. Look, I'm sure they've done a lot of bad stuff. I'm not a pro-Israel guy. I think we're both the same here. I'm America first, America only. I don't care about Israel. I don't care about Qatar. I don't care about Germany. I care about American citizens in America, just like those people in Israel, Qatar, and Germany would care about their own citizens. But I have a problem. I have a real concern with people getting sucked in to what I believe is a concerted effort to divide the right. And I feel like some people are getting sucked into it because they see all the interaction and they see how popular this stuff is on X. And so they think, well, maybe I'm wrong. They gaslight themselves because, you know, the bots, the bot army, I mean, who benefits from dividing the right now? And that's what we should really be asking ourselves, not whether or not Candace Owens' absurd lies about Tyler Robinson are true or not. She should be ignored completely because she is clearly driven to destroy the right and perpetrating her narrative, which is, of course, exclusively, anybody who's looking at this honestly, is that Israel killed Charlie Kirk. She's had a bunch of offshoots from that, but that is the core tenet of what she is claiming. And that is why I believe it's also artificially inflated on multiple places.
Okay, well, I'm just being honest when I point out, we'll get to Hassan Piker in a moment, frothing communist Islamicist. But I just call the balls and strikes. So when you say people get pissed off at me at one thing or the other, I don't care, but I do mention what people are saying because I'm into what the population thinks. So any implication that I go with what pressure is the opposite. I neurotically do whatever I believe is real. There's not even, my brain doesn't even ever even think about pulling back from pressure. In fact, I tend to go into pressure. But that said, people go, well, what's up? You expose Israel financing all this propaganda in America, and you expose the other. Which side are you on? I'm on the side of being aware of this. So, yeah, it's known that Qatar spends all this money. It's known these other people do. But so does Israel, is my point. And then you've got Tim Pool saying Alex must have gotten the call. Well, I'm wondering, he needs a name from who, because I didn't get a call, as Tim admits, from Netanyahu to meet secretly with him. And then when it came out, Tim said, yeah, I did meet, but it's secret what we said, Chatham House rules. So nobody's got me meeting with people secret. No one can find it. If they ever do, it's AI. It's not real. I am funded by the listeners. I mean, I can even get a lot of great sponsors, but quite frankly, I'm so busy. You got to court them. You got to jack with it. It's a big hassle. I'd rather just sell cool stuff and not jack around with a bunch of sponsors.
Hey, Coffee Brand Coffee would sponsor you, man.
Well, let's go. So, but the whole point is that Oh, and I will tell you, I like your little thing claiming Rex, my son, who I love and is really smart. You think Rex tells me what to say? You think Rex is my Gormer worm tongue or whatever his name is?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's Rex, but I'm just relaying also just like you. I read.
So you're saying what Tim said, I get a call. I get calls.
No, I don't think you got a call. I think that if most people watching you would agree with me when I say that you took a hard 180 about a few months ago. Now.
Well, the only calls I listen to are the hot women. I'm joking. Of course not.
You look great, Alex, by the way.
You look great too. The point is that I'm not getting calls from politicos because they know it goes into a black hole. Okay.
I believe you. I believe you 100%. But when you look at the public perception, and perception is reality, and I believe that you are a truthful man and that you're just following your gut. People are allowed to change their opinions. People are allowed to, you know, wholeheartedly support Trump.
But I have mixed feelings about Israel. I don't mind for the Muslims. I don't want to blow Israel up, but I also don't want Israel claiming I'm a terrorist, need to be taken off the air, you know, the Netanyahu crowd. I understand Netanyahu is only one permutation of Israel. I get that.
Yeah. But I'm just trying to explain the he got the call thing. I think Tim was probably being tongue-in-cheek there, although I can't speak for him. But I'm saying that there is a perception that Alex Jones has changed, and you can read it in the comments. You read your comments, you know. Whether it doesn't matter. People say, oh, like when I came out and said Candace Owens is literally demonically possessed. By the way, an opinion we both shared at one point. I lost a lot of viewers. A lot of people called me all sorts of names. They said I was funded by Israel. I get the same nonsense that you do with that. Now, nobody on the planet is under the level of stress and attack that Alex Jones is and your team and your company. And I've defended you for an extremely long time, and I will continue to do so regardless of how this conversation goes, because you're the greatest of all time that's ever done this. You're allowed to change your opinion, but the perception is reality. And the perception is there was a hard turn a few months ago, and people are just trying to explain, understand that, because a lot of us have followed you for many, many years through thick and thin. You've been right about way more than you've ever been wrong about. But people are concerned when it looks like, and again, perception is just reality, when you're boosting Candace Owens' theories and you're talking about that, I get now that you've added the context. You're saying, hey, I don't know. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But let me ask you, as of today, from vacillating back and forth because you're unsure, what do you believe is more likely? Do you believe that Tyler Robinson, a trans dating leftoid who engraved the bullets like every trans shooter in history, do you believe that he killed Charlie Kirk or that Israel did or the Jews?
Whenever I said I think Israel factors into it at some point, if the U.S. government did it, I don't think they would do that on our soil without the U.S. government involved, kind of like 9/11, where the stand down bare minimum was Netanyahu was in power at the time and George W. Bush. And so, you know, the two kind of worked in concert, at least with the official story blaming Iraq, you know, that's now come out that they knew wasn't true. And so when I said $10,000, if you can show me saying the Jews killed Charlie Kirk, I never said that. I said clearly now I think Israel in some permutation in the politics of this is involved because of the text messages that were released of him, you know, saying Israel's mad at me, the Jewish lobby is mad at me. But if you want to know why I'm upset at Trump, it's that sea of red, future slide as market wakes up to soaring bond yields and diesel prices. Agriculture commodity prices break out as J.P. Morgan food crisis warning gets louder. Foreign holdings of U.S. treasuries fall in June, led by Japan, U.K., China. I mean, this U.S. housing starts plummet in July, 12%+. I mean, this ain't good. And this is what economists told me was going to happen if we did this war. So I am pissed about the fact that Trump's economic recovery plan was the best. That's why I was a total cheerleader. And then when he started getting off of that, I've gotten really, really, really upset about America is on the verge of bankruptcy, and this war alone will derail that. And now we're seeing not just that as a prediction, it's now coming true.
I totally agree with you. Even I started out more of a, well, you blow up a few things and move on. This is going to be whatever, and now it's dragged out much longer, as you did predict. But my question remains, do you think that Israel was involved in Charlie Kirk's assassination or not? That is, I think, what most people want to know.
I'm not dodging the question. No, I don't have any proof that Israel was involved in Charlie Kirk's assassination. And I said that early on, like 3 days in, they said Israel did it. And I said, we don't even know what happened here. And so what I know is the official story is not true. What I know is it's got more holes in it than Swiss cheese. And then every time I cover real stuff, no one seems to care, both on, you know, the people defending the official story and then, you know, Candace Owens and them. Like, I was told by people in the cabinet meeting 6 days after they had a meeting. It was like 8 days after. It was 6 days after they had the meeting that the Patel comes in and says, we're not looking at foreign involvement. That's orders from Trump. We're not looking at domestic involvement. And it was later confirmed and came out. So I'm just saying, when you've got that and the same FBI that said, oh, the Epstein killed himself and wasn't a human trafficker, those girlfriends in prison for it. And by the way, here's the unedited video, and it's all edited showing he killed himself. It doesn't show him kill himself. I'm just saying, I don't believe anything they say. So I'm not mad at people that don't believe it.
Yeah, that's where my position is, too. I obviously believe this is just nonsense that a foreign country that Charlie Kirk was very clearly loyal to killed him. But we agree on that. We can move on from that. What I'm really curious about, if it's okay, if we can just have a talk as I'm not a peer. You're on a different level.
Oh, stop that. All humans are peers, and that's not going to get you. You know, seriously. No. Sure. I'm just a regular guy, just like everybody else. My issue is I've really tried to call balls and strikes. The Charlie Kirk assassination gives me a headache because I can usually figure stuff out. The more I investigate, the more it gets confusing. This is a giant black hole.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are questions about the case that I hope will be answered at the actual trial. I myself did not believe we'd ever even get to the pretrial. I thought he would get something would magically happen to him while he was in prison and we'd never get answers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to me, I want to get your opinion. I know you've shared it before, but I'm curious. So you're a Christian man. You go to church just like I do. I've only recently found God back in, you know, when Charlie Kirk was assassinated. I started going back to church and I haven't stopped since. In December, everybody was in agreement about this. What do you make of the larger picture of dividing the right? In my opinion, TPUSA, a Christian organization, Erica Kirk, a blameless victim in a horrific murder of her husband and the father of her children. What do you make of the people profiteering off of that, spreading things they know are not true? What do you think they're motivated by? Is it just clicks, or is it a genuine effort to divide the right?
Let me be 100% clear. No, I hear you. Let me be 100% clear. There's propaganda from all angles. Erica Kirk, a week after he dies, in black hot leather pants with fireworks shooting off. Terrible look. I called them and told their head PR guy, this is a really bad idea. I said, what are you doing? There's no doubt TPUSA did a great job getting young voters registered to vote Republican. There's no doubt that the Democrats are having everybody on and boosting this, and Google is boosting it. And look, I'm still banned on YouTube. Nothing against Candace. She is not just on YouTube. She is boosted. So just
why
because
do you think
that's
that
all,
is, Alex?
Well, no. Just because I say all that on air, just because that's true doesn't mean I ignore all this. Is the left using this and Trump and the FBI covering up what really happened? Yeah, but they're the ones that covered it up, that opened the door for this. I told TPUSA, come out and go after the accomplices. Go out and talk about the FBI cover up. I told them this days after. I predicted all of this. I said, this will bring down TPUSA, and they did not listen to me. We'll be right back.
Do you want to try some?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, we'll send you some methylene blue. And if you guys want to get it too, you can get it from thealexjonesstore.com. I invented two proprietary products. Yeah, but I'm a business owner, supplement formulator, Power Plant and Methyl Drive. You guys got to get them right now. Magnesium, CoQ10, PQQ, Rhodiola Rosea, Golden Root. It's got the cordyceps, the zinc, the selenium. It's got the boron as well. Raise your free testosterone. Raise your ability to get through hard days and hard tasks. And ultimately raise the potential of the methylene blue that you're probably already taking if you're watching this network. We have that available for you. It's a really good deal, really good price. People just kind of across the internet have told me they've started taking it and they've been able to get to the gym again. They've been able to get through hard days at work again. Specifically, that power plant formula, If you're looking for something like Super Male Vitality from back in the day, I basically invented a better version of that. That's called Power Plant. It's available solo or also in the Power Drive bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. Look up what proper magnesium does for your body. Look up what proper methylated vitamin B12 does for your body. All of that and more is in Power Plant and Methyl Drive, and you can get them all three together on the Power Drive bundle, along with the other phenomenal products. We have the turmeric. We've got the MK Ultra, which is a phenomenal multivitamin, also nootropic as well. Ultimate Burn. If you really, you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, here's the thing. I've been doing a good job. I'm almost down to like 205 now. If you want to join me on a weight loss journey, you can get yourself some Ultimate Burn. And all the other products we have, like Methylene Red specifically, are also great for that. Methylene Red also has that CoQ10. Get the turmeric, get the blue, get the gummies, get the colostrum. My grandma is not capping on jaw for real. It really helped her with her hair if you want it. You got the T3 trifecta iodine, the absolute staple of the old network. Got the Ultimate Sea Moss, Ultimate Turmeric, the bovine beef tallow. It's got the methylene blue inside the tallow. Incredible antioxidant, methylene blue. I already went over it, tried to with Gavin a little bit. We've got the zeolite, incredible for heavy metal support, dechelation, stuff like that. The Shilajit complex, we've even got smelling salts, Ultimate Life Force, which is absolutely incredible. It's got the natokinase in there. It's got things, theoretically to, you know, attenuate certain anecdotal things with the spike protein. Not making a health claim there. Talk to your doctor. It's just a top rated formula for a reason. The Ultimate CMOS gummies in another form. The creatine, the Ultimate Power. We've got tons of sales on the different forms and flavors of the Ultimate Power pre-workout. We've got the NAD. We've got the Methyl Drive. We've got the MK Ultra. We've got Optimal Human. I got drink mixes for you. I got powders. I got energy gum. This is what you need. We have an electrolyte powder. It is so important in the summer months to get proper electrolyte support. And if you look at a lot of these blends on the grocery store shelf, they are pure garbage. Get yourself some Optimal Human. Get yourself some beef tallow. Get yourself some Atomic Defense. All of that and more is available at thealexjonesstore.com. I did not even mention the water filtration, shower filtration that we have, the Patriot apparel that we have, the collectible coins, memorabilia that we have. Literally everything that you could ever want theoretically or practically to support this operation, you can get at thealexjonesstore.com. This is what makes us different. Other people do a show so they can sell a product. We sell the best products in the world so that we can do the best show in the world. That's what makes this operation completely different, completely viewer, listener, supported, funded, owned by you at home when you decide, when you choose to make the decision to support us and get the phenomenal products at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm telling you again, the Power Drive Bundle, Methyl Drive, Power Plant, Methylene Blue, that is like the trifecta.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Freedom Command Central, it's the Alex Jones Show.
So I've said I don't see proof Israel killed Kirk. I do see proof that there were other people involved. There's a cover-up, so then you have to ask who has the motive, and Israel certainly did because he was changing his views on that, but so did the left wanting him dead. They said they were going to kill him. They celebrated it. And it's definitely been quite a turn of events that nobody talks about the left killing Kirk or celebrating the killing of Kirk because of the mishandling of this at TPUSA, which I find really hard to believe they are that tone deaf. But here's a little piece we put together on the eight-front war, the eighth front in the eight-front war that Netanyahu talked about. Then he met with Tim Pool, called him secretly, and met, and Tim Pool later admitted, you know, how to deal with the anti-Semitism, which means the anti-war. The rest of them have to deal with these podcasters because Israel admits they're losing the eighth front in the war. So they need to use the same energy they use on Hamas on the American people with exploding pagers. That's the head of the ADL. Here's a short compilation.
As you know, a seven front war, and we've come out in many ways victorious, but there's an eighth front, and that's the front for the hearts and minds of people, especially young people in the West, and for me, especially in the United States, and for me, especially on the conservative wing of the United States. Social media, this is the new battlefield. This is the eighth front. The disinformation campaign is among us. You know, it takes a second for a lie to circulate the world, and then you have to battle it with the only weapon you have, which is the truth. So what Israel is fighting here is not merely a seven-front war, which I'll have to attend to in a few minutes, but an eighth-front war. It's the war, ultimately, of civilization against barbarism.
But we need the kind of genius that manufactured Apollo gold pagers and infiltrated Hezbollah for over a decade to prepare for this battle. We need the kind of courage that executed Operation Deep Layer inside Syria and destroyed Iranian missile manufacturing capabilities to undertake this mission.
Rome and Jerusalem clashed over values with a great tragedy for the Jewish people. But the new Rome, the United States,
we monitor them online, social media, messaging apps, video games, cryptocurrency, podcasts, short form video, Wikipedia, LLM. We monitor these people and we share the intelligence with the FBI.
And I think it's not just Israel's battle. I think it's our common Judeo-Christian civilizational battle. And I think we have to engage in that battle as forcefully, with as much resolution as we engage the other seven fronts.
Christian influencers. Okay. You said, you talked about the woke right. And you said, I call it the woke Reich. That's a brilliant.
That's good.
The woke Reich, because these people, you know, they're not any different from the woke left. I mean, they're insane. They're loonies. But they're actually meeting on some of the things. And what we have to do is we have to secure that part of our, the base of our support in the United States. That is being challenged systematically. A lot of this is done with money. Money of NGOs, vast. Money of governments, vaster. Okay? We have to fight back. How do we fight back? Our influencers. I think you should also talk to them if you have a chance. To that, that community. They're very important. Mm. And secondly, we're going to have to use the tools of battle. You know, the weapons change over time. You can't fight today with swords. That doesn't work very well, okay? And you can't fight with cavalry. That doesn't work very well. And you have these new things, you know, like drones, things like that. I won't get into that. But we have to fight with the weapons that apply to the battlefields in which we're engaged. And the most important ones are social media.
So then Tim Pool comes out and met Siru and Netanyahu on the Eighth Front War. He got caught. He says, I'm getting paid by somebody. He said, I got a call. I want to know by who, because I didn't. Going back to Jeremy of The Quartering, thequartering.com. Moving away from the black hole, this is Charlie Kirk assassination, so sad. We can get into that more if you want. Just in general, what do you think Trump should do to try to win the midterms and pivot away? I mean, obviously, in this war, well, Netanyahu doesn't want this war ended.
Well, I think there's a couple of things that Trump could do, but he's running out of time to do it. I think, as I mentioned earlier, perception is reality. And the cost of living, I think, is still more important to more everyday Americans than the Iran issue. I agree the Iran issue is a mess, but that is also contributing to the cost of living. He needs to get a resolution, obviously, as quick as possible, because the price of gas makes the price of everything, oil, really. Oil is a part of almost everything we do, and it increases the prices and the cost of living. You mentioned the home prices. To most Americans between 18 and 40, and I don't think this is an apolitical poll, the idea, the dream, the American dream of owning a home with a white picket fence seems impossible. And that's why you're seeing so many of these communists. We had one nearly win here in Wisconsin that won the Democratic nomination. And that's why I'm talking about what's most important to me is re-galvanizing the biggest voices on the right. Now, I know the right is splintered, but he needs to figure out a way to get the Alex Joneses of the world and the Tucker Carlsons of the world and the Candace Owens of the world to either see that this is a real problem and focus on issues that Americans are really concerned about, or this fracturing is going to cost him the midterms and perhaps the Republicans of 2028 elections. Obviously, you know, there you can say whatever about J.D. Vance or Marco Rubio as the potential, you know, runners there. But the midterms are not going to go well if things don't get more affordable. That's one of the biggest reasons Trump gets elected, right? Secure the borders. People want more deportations. You can't back down every time there's an optics issue, every time there's another illegal that, you know, gets shot during a stop. He backs off on that. So we're together on that. I think Trump needs to redeploy ICE and stop caring what the media says. He needs to worry about cost of living. And whatever he does, he has to do it quickly because November is coming and it's coming fast. In terms of reuniting the right, I think big voices like you, someone who is a truth seeker, should be, hopefully will be, more vocal about this op that is happening to divide the right. And we have people saying, I don't want to vote Democrat. Nick says, vote Democrat. We can't do that because we can't take the worst option of the lesser of two evils just to stick it to somebody. That's not productive. So I'm hoping after our talk today that you will maybe prioritize the division of the right a little higher than some of the stuff that's currently dividing the right.
Well, I mean, the media focuses on certain things. I say I've been prioritizing getting Trump back, but you've seen all his statements about affordability is not real. I don't care about America's economic plight. I care about the war. I don't care about Medicare.
He's wrong
Medicaid,
about that.
His surrogate saying, yeah, who cares about $20 burritos? So I don't see Trump course correcting. I mean, if he does it course correct, and maybe there's no time with 2.5 months left, what do you think happens?
If he doesn't course correct, it will be a blue wave at the midterms, and we will lose the 2028 elections. Probably, as laughable as this is, to AOC. I mean, we see Democrat operatives like Hassan Piker coming around and supporting Candace Owens. Why? Specifically because she's divided the right. And if the right does not regalvanize, and I'm not a big fan of the big tent, but I'm a fan of it when it really matters, when we're talking about the midterms, when we're talking about presidential elections. And if we don't regalvanize and understand that while we're upset about these things, we're letting the other guys win, I just don't think that that's a winner strategy. I don't think checking out and getting blackpilled and having people putting out constant demoralizing bait, you know, demoralizing Americans content out there.
Well, there is a competition to show how anti-Trump you are. That's not what I've done. But at the same time, you can't cover up Epstein and say it doesn't exist and you're not MAGA if you believe it. I mean, look what just broke. Palm Beach County Clerk of Courts, Mike Caruso, arrested on child sex abuse charges. Mike Caruso, the Palm Beach County Clerk of Courts, the staunch ally of Florida Ron DeSantis, was charged Tuesday morning on charges linked to child sexual abuse of his grandson, state officials announced. And it just goes on. It just goes on from there. So, you know, Trump, MTG said it. He later said it. Oh, this would embarrass my friends. Ludnick is involved with Epstein, lied about it. Earlier this morning, with substantial assistance from the FDLE and local law enforcement, Palm Beach County Clerk of Court Michael Caruso was arrested on charges related to child sex abuse. The statement said the investigation is ongoing and we will provide more information to the public at the appropriate time. Why does this keep happening? Just because they control these people, they put them in charge. The suspension order indicated an arrest warrant out of Orange County indicating that Caruso is facing 5 felony charges: kidnapping, lewd or lascivious molestation, lewd or lascivious exhibition, luring or exciting a child, and child abuse, mental injury. The sexual abuse began in 2024, continued until about August 2025, according to probable cause affidavit. The victim of sexual abuse was one of his grandchildren, a boy under the age of 12, according to the affidavit. Caruso has 7 children. I mean, this is just unbelievable. But it's just par for the course. And I wonder if Trump will tell us that you're not MAGA if you think this exists. What do you think?
Well, I certainly think that there's nobody who's been more on the forefront of exposing these creeps on both sides of the aisle in power than you, Alex. And I think the answer to that is that we push for the prosecution. We cheer for the prosecution of creeps. We celebrate it, but we don't let it distract us from the fact that we're about to lose the country to people who want to put us in camps, to people who want us dead. I think you can hold 2 ideas, in one in each hand. One that says, not happy with the way things are going right now, we haven't really drained the swamp, and Trump's had two terms to do it, and he hasn't really done it. But there's a pragmatic side, Alex, that I believe people are missing, and that is by withholding your vote or, you know, voting Democrat, people have already forgot just how bad 2020 to 2024 was. Most people forgot the lockdowns. Who did that? Democrats locked us down. And so this is the likes of Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson, in my opinion, and anybody amplifying their views, which is why I criticized you about amplifying their views, because I think they are, and Marjorie Taylor Greene's another one. I think these people went from diehard MAGA to suddenly America bad. I'm going to start a third party. It all seems, now you're the master of this. Put the pieces together. These people are working together to divide America. Trump is far from perfect. In fact, his second term has been largely a disappointment, in my opinion. But the answer is not to support the Democrats, because look at what Hassan Piker, who wants us all dead in the streets, is saying. I love Candace Owens because why? She's dividing the right. And what my goal is to reunite the right and galvanize ourselves, win the election, but then continue to try to hold people accountable. The Jeffrey Files release was an absolute debacle. We both agree on that. I happen to think there is no chance Trump is in them. They would have released it while Obama was president. They would have released it when he's running in 2016. They would have released it while Biden was president in 2020 running against him. They had a billion opportunities to release if they had anything on Trump. We agree the deep state is corrupt. They probably destroyed all the evidence. You and I are probably on the exact same page about what really happened on that island. But the facts remain. Trump did nothing. And Trump is not in those files. If he was, it would have been released.
Sure, but Jeremy, yes, let me explain something. You seem like an astute guy, and so I think you're going to get this, or maybe you disagree. When people would criticize Trump in the last year and a half, even mildly, the surrogates would come out and attack us, the never-Trumpers, mainly the Israeli operatives. Trump would join in on it, then all the influencers would pack on, and people said, screw you. A lot of this isn't because they're getting Qatari money, or they're with Hassan right. Piker secretly, or they're, you know, vacationing with Hunter Biden. It's that they're overcorrecting to say, fine, we're done with you, and we're kind of subconsciously, maybe consciously, the Democrats want to put us in prison, so let's just be buddies with them and kind of just give up and punch out. Because MTG didn't tell me this, but I knew she was going to resign about a week before. She said, I probably am. I'm just sick of them. I'm demoralized. I'm not going to run again. It's all depressing. Yeah. They're all corrupt Democrats, Republicans. I'm just done. And you see her every time. You know, she was a successful lady in business.
Who could blame her?
She's in Costa Rica. She's out on a boat, wherever. I mean, she's on vacation. She's, like, retired. Now,
yeah.
Tucker's told me he never wants to be president and run. He might support somebody to inject new ideas, but mainly talking to Joe Kent and others and him, this is mainly this third party talk, a way to put their platform out to get back control of the Republican Party to what original OG MAGA was. And I agree that if Trump would do olive branches of these people, it would neutralize that energy in a good way. I don't mean like neutralize them, but neutralize it. Like, you know, you put a base in with an acid and then we could off ramp this and then listen to them. And he's starting to, you know, go sideways with Israel. He's starting to say Netanyahu is a crook and you know, his own worst enemy and, you know, trying to sabotage his peace deals because it's true. And so if Trump came out against the NDAA and the Senate and basically merging us with the Israeli military, and it really says that, it says integrate, fuse, all of it, they'll co-own our weapons, then that would go light years. We need to see real action here. And I agree. I would love to salvage this. And, you know, doesn't mean I endorse the Epstein cover-up, but just for the party itself, it's hurting everything. I would love to see Trump stop pressing on the gas for accelerating this fight. You're telling me to stop the fight. You must not watch the show. This is exactly what I've been saying.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I think one of the biggest mistakes Trump made was leaving X, because during his first term, it felt like he was more in touch with the grassroots, you know, his grassroots base. You would see, like, he would do something unpopular, he would get shredded on X, and then he would revamp. Now he spends all his time on Truth, where it's essentially an echo chamber.
Well, I can tell you back then, I'm gonna, this is even in documentaries, I've talked about what else. He really was the guy on the phone reading replies and doing it. Now they say, sir, security, you can't have the phone most of the time. He dictates a lot of it, but a lot of the Truth Social is not him. Okay. And they've admitted that. They've admitted that. So you're right. He's more in a silo now. He's more cloistered.
Yeah. That's the biggest problem, I think. I think we agree, and I think that this is a good common ground, that regardless of whether or not I agree or disagree with this, you know, the Tuckers or the Marjorie Taylor Greens or Candace Owens or whatever, the reality is a lot of their viewers are real and they were or are former or current Trump voters. And Trump does really need to acknowledge it. I'm not saying he needs to just do wholesale. You didn't say that either. You said just maybe look.
Well, that's what they do. They say you have no influence, but if we lose, it's your fault. No, these people, especially Tucker. I mean, he's right up there. Yeah. I mean, if I had to say it's Joe Rogan, Tucker Carlson, and then, you know, I'm not trying to be in pole position. I've been number one before. It's not fun, but I'm in the top 10 or so. But consistently, yeah, it's Joe Rogan, Tucker Carlson. Tucker has more power than he had at Fox. And I told him, and this is only in a private conversation, but I said, I get you overcorrected. I think you may have overcorrected with the Hunter Biden fawning, but I said, I still respect it, whatever. But remember, these guys would love to put us all in prison and the censorship and the COVID. And I'm not going to say what he said back. Just that, I mean, I've said it on air, and that's where I stand. But I mean, Tucker is a real guy. Like, oh, he doesn't really hunt. He's not really, no. He is agonized over the fact that he supported Trump. He feels guilty about it. He feels really guilty. He used to be like a neocon pro-war. That drives him. Mm. The Tucker you see on air, that's the real thing. He's like a young Santa Claus or something.
I believe that that's the real Tucker. I believe that these people, that there's a kernel of truth to the things that they're saying, but I do believe it's mostly... Well,
I've been in his house, his houses, his dad's old house, his house. I've been in his hunting lodges. That's all he does. He knows every hillbilly out there. He's got hunting lodges everywhere. He obsesses and fishes constantly on the... Everything else is a side deal to that. And there's photos and stuff all over when you're in his house of him with his dad when he's a little kid fishing and hunting there. But I hear this like, oh, he's this rich kid. He doesn't really hunt. He doesn't really care. Tucker Carlson, yeah, you see... Let me tell you something. I can go to a shooting range with five or six special ops guys, and I shoot better than almost all of them all the time. Tucker Carlson didn't want it on camera because he goes, well, it's a little too, you know, I don't want to, it's a little bit, you look a little too militaristic. He can outshoot me, okay? And let me tell you, I'm a sharpshooter, buddy.
Maybe we'll come down there and we'll go to the range together and you can teach me a thing or two. I just think, I know we're running out of time. I think we agree. I think the common ground is that Trump does need to address the, I don't want to use dissident right because I feel like that has a negative connotation, but there are people on the right who genuinely did support him for a period of time and are upset. And I don't think it's valuable for him to, you know, call people low IQ and to go after people like that who have supported him. The same way, Alex, I think you should pick up the phone and call Tim. I don't think you guys publicly spatting benefits anybody but the left.
Well, you know why I went after him? Because I've been thinking privately I've been too nice to people. He's done some, and it was a fact that he was basically dancing on my political grave that wasn't real. And when it had already come out, it was the next problem. Okay. So, and maybe
but that's I talked to him. That's not how he feels, Alex. He really doesn't feel that way. He is a strong supporter and he was genuinely hurt. He was his reply to you. Was just, I get it. It's acts, not every context comes through and everything. But I mean, do it privately because I think you and Tim have an incredible long term. You guys have put out some of the most epic shows in history streaming together. And, you know, I don't think he's against you, Alex. I think that.
Well, I'll tell you what I thought. I'll tell you why I went in and did that last night, like 7 o'clock. I was already tired, but it was 4 a.m. Yeah. I was pissed off. And I almost didn't do it, but then now his reply about, did I get a call or clearly I got a call makes me feel good about it.
Yeah.
But I'm not a vindictive person. It's that there was clearly bots saying, oh, look, you anti-war guys are unpopular when the pro-war people are unpopular. Everybody knows that. And it looked to me like he just piled on and maybe got the talking point. I'm not accusing him of that, but I don't meet seriously with the Israeli prime minister about propaganda operations.
I know. Alex, I totally, like, dude, you are, nobody's more under attack than Alex Jones. And anybody, even if they're providing, you know, harsh criticism or sharp criticism, or maybe it's sarcastic and it doesn't come across right. Like, I think you and Tim should, will you give Tim a call later and just sort this out? Are you open to that? Because we need you. Even if Trump isn't our guy, we're going to have a new president in 2028.
Well, sure.
Probably.
In the interest of not infighting, I mean, I won't do that, but I've already said a lot of mean things about Tim, and just maybe I just want to have a big war. Maybe I'm in Godzilla mode, but we'll see.
Hold on,
Salty Cracker. It needs to come on the show because for whatever retard thing, I know two different people. I had a brain fart and called You Cracker, but I know you're the quartering. I want to have both you guys on together soon because I'm a fan of both your shows. Stay right there, though. Do a few more minutes with us before I come back in the next hour. I have a special guest in studio. But will you do like 15 more minutes with us?
Sure, I got it.
Okay, and again, the best website for you is thequartering.com?
Yep, everything's there.
Because I got a few other items with you on to finish up the discussion about this, but you know, thought-provoking with Jeremy from The Quartering. Now, let me do this. I did a 45-second plug in the first hour, and we need to fund our operation. I need to get into the new studios that are getting completed. I need to hire more crew. I need to get more reporters. I need to get more hosts. We're going to go bigger than InfoWars ever was. Wait till you see these announcements. It's just held up for legal reasons right now. It's very exciting. We're having big victories, but we need funds. So I bring you whatever's the coolest, whatever's the hottest, whatever's the highest rated. We have the new Ready gun mount, the N52 rare earth mineral magnet rated to hold up to 10 pounds, and it's got a little size selector. It's adjustable. It'll hold basically any handgun you want, including a 357 Magnum, a 44 Magnum, you know, some of the biggest handguns out there. And I've already got these units. I've got the same company, and I paid something like, you know, $40-$50 for these at Cabela's and other places. This is for $19.95 right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Normally, ladies and gentlemen, even discounted, is $29.95. But for a limited time, $19.95 for VIP members, $15.99 right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And there's all of the other great ultramethylene blue, the bovine colostrum. There's a deal right now where you get bovine colostrum at cost. But there's only a few hundred people left that will be able to be part of that special deal. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And then finally, you've heard all the news about minbenzidol and ivermectin, not just being anti-parasitic, but knocking out so many other things. A great detox for everybody to take. Go to 1776rx.health and get medical-grade ivermectin in the same pill with minbenzidol right now. The two are individually amazing, but together in the studies, they're insane. Look up what ivermectin and minbenzidol together are known for doing and why the system doesn't want you to know this information, has been trying to suppress it. Get ivermectin with minbenzidol right now at the new online pharmacy they've launched, Bigly, at 1776rx.health, 1776rx.health, and then it helps this operation and what we're doing. But everybody, in my view, talk to a physician first. You'll be talking to him when you go there. I do this a couple times a year. I told them I wanted this. This is the way to go. Notice we just launched this a few weeks ago, and it's already all over the news about minbenzidol. Just type into news, you Google News, anything, even though they suppress it. Just minbenzidol, and see what's going on. Get the ivermectin with minbenzidol now at 1776rx.health, and get the ready-to-mount gun magnet holster for your wall or under your desk, your car, wherever, right now for $19.95.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast.
That's usually when it matters most to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. The top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That's not a promotion. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call, and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900. And let us help you make room for what matters most.
Friends, has your water been acting a little suspicious lately? Does it taste like it took a wrong turn through a garden hose on the way to your kitchen? Well, don't panic. Introducing the dual carbon gravity water filter.
Gee whiz, it sparkles like diamonds in the sunshine. No more of that yucky, murky tap stuff that tastes like it came straight from the old rusty pipes.
This water is so good.
It's the best ever.
I'm so glad. Fresh water is important.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Drink up.
We will.
Wow, that sure is a fine-looking water filter.
You know I'd never do you wrong, Lucy. This is top of the line, I tell ya.
Oh, I believe you.
Just you wait and see. I just know Ricky will love it.
I can't wait till he gets home.
He'll be so impressed.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
come in the kitchen, dear. I want to show you something.
Oh boy, that tastes great. You can always trust good old Alex.
Another satisfied customer.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Keep your eyes on the road and your hands upon the wheel. Because the future's uncertain and the end is always near.
Keep your eyes on the road, your hand upon the wheel. Keep your eyes on the road, your hand upon the wheel. Yeah, we're going to the roadhouse, gonna have a real, a good time.
Appreciate Jeremy from The Quartering, thequartering.com, with us for the 15 minutes. Then we have a special guest that is heading up the big event, Crisis King America After Trump. That's going to be November 12th and 14th. Joel Webben heading that up. Really great guy. And I've had him on the show before. We got to really know him during the debate a few weeks ago up in Dallas with the neocons. And I'm only mentioning this now because he's with us at the bottom of the next hour, or bottom of this hour, actually. This says it perfectly, Jeremy. Christ is King, America after Trump. Whether you love Trump, hate Trump, whatever, when I was debating these neocons, including Andrew Wilson, it was always like, Trump's everything. We've got to have Trump. Trump's posting Double Truth Social about 2028. We're going to win. I would have said that was a troll in the past, but who knows? What is your view about life after Trump? I mean, what should we be doing? I think we should be, you know, really talking about the platform against the Democrat Socialists of America. Jeremy, what's your view on this?
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. Yeah. First of all, I'd love to go to that. I see that's down in Dallas. So maybe we can meet up there and, you could take me out for a fancy steak dinner and we can wrestle or something like that. But, I mean, I think that America needs Christ right now. I happen to believe that there is something at a large scale. I know not everybody's religious, but like at a demonic level. And what's happening is, while we're all infighting, the Democratic Socialists of America are gaining power. It used to be fun to laugh at all the crazy, insane things that somebody like Hassan Piker said and did, but he helped get Zohran Mamdani elected. He helped get a Muslim socialist as the Democratic nominee in Michigan. He helped a Democratic Socialist narrowly lose before the Democrats had another 1 a.m. Vote dump in Milwaukee that got their establishment Democrat in. Hopefully Tom Tiffany will win in Wisconsin, but I don't know. The Democratic Socialists of America used to be something we'd make fun of, but I think it's a massive mistake for Americans to continue treating them like a joke. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the current front runner to win the Democratic nomination. Now, I don't think she could win as president, but I didn't think Kamala Harris stood a chance either. People are still largely, you know, red till I'm dead or blue no matter who. And if a Democrat socialist runs under blue, you know, they get votes. And we used to have guys like Bernie Sanders that we'd all laugh at because he never actually achieved anything and he just bought more houses. But this is a real force. This force is basically Antifa and the far left that have been killing us in the streets. That's who these people are. And they're gaining more and more power in this country. I talk about on my show, by the way, during the day a lot. And it's scary. People are not paying enough attention to the fact that, you know, we all laugh at Ilhan Omar, but she won her primary in a landslide. These people aren't going anywhere. And the more time, again, I keep bringing it up because it's my most important issue. The more time we spend infighting, the more power they get. The left has never polled lower in favorability. I saw a new report this morning than, I don't know, maybe in the last 20 years. I don't know what the time frame was. Yet they are still winning local elections. People are going further and further left. and we talked about earlier, I think Trump can slow the bleed by delivering affordability to Americans and not making
Let's
fun
talk
about
more about that. 60-second break before we join hundreds of stations that don't carry the first five. Stay right there, Jeremy of The Quartering, making some really good points today, thequartering.com. We'll be right back. And check out his coffee. I've had it before. It's pretty good stuff. Maybe he should be a sponsor. Then he'd be sponsoring the Qatari militia. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenazidil, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenazidil is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenazidil studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones. Out on the
streets. So, what is life after Trump? He seems to think, with posts on Truth Social, he's running 2028. Jeremy of The Quartering, we've been debating and discussing cordially here today. I mean, do you think that's just trolling, or what do you think's behind that? And then, again, what does, you were starting to answer it, I think, really eloquently. What comes out of that?
Well, first of all, minor update. It's coffeebrandcoffee.com. Sorry, I just want to correct the URL if people want to check it out. Sorry, I'm a shameless shill, if nothing else. I, too, am supported exclusively by my viewers. But
beautiful.
I think it's trolling, but second-term Trump, sometimes I can't tell the difference. And I think if people can't tell the difference, even your supporters, you should probably cut it out. I think life after Trump, it could go one of two ways. It depends, obviously, what happens in the midterms. What I'm mostly afraid of is that the Republicans get blown out in the midterms, and then Trump doesn't even have the votes to fix anything that he promised you. Remember the last term? Remember how suddenly he cared about internet censorship when he got banned from X? But it was the end of his first term, and he couldn't do anything about it, and then he was getting constantly impeached. That's what my biggest fear is with the midterms. If the Republicans get blown out in the midterms, and maybe they deserve it, I don't know. But if they do, then Trump will have no chance to fix anything. So that's why I'm hoping, praying, doing what I can to try and unite people to say, like, we need to give Trump more time. I think he means well. Now, after him, I don't know. Who do you get? Probably J.D. Vance running for the Republicans. And one major thing I want to bring up, and I think maybe I want to get your take on this. A big mistake the Republicans have made after Trump won was checking out and pretending like the culture war was won. Meanwhile, I don't think the culture war has been won at all. It's raging just as much as it ever has been. And if we get, I don't know if it's going to be AOC or Kamala Harris, those are probably the two most probable to run against. And if one of them wins, people thought woke one was crazy. Wait till the Democrats control the Senate, the House, and the presidency. I think it's extremely dire. And that's why I'm going so hard and trying to mend bridges and try to encourage you to call Tim when you get some free time later and hopefully reunite people and under the banner of saying, yeah, it hasn't been great. I know this isn't exactly a great sales pitch. It hasn't been great, but it could have been so much worse, and it will be so much worse if we stay divided.
Well, just imagine what the Democrats are going to do if they win the House and Senate, which is, I think, a probability right now. I mean, break down what you think they're going to do, and then you say, well, even we'll lose 2028. A lot of times, though, they'll be so horrible and so evil, people kind of remember that and go back to being Republican, yeah. And then all these other people, like Nick Fuentes, you know, I respect a smart guy, but he goes, oh, you're being conned again. No, I'm not being conned again when they are absolutely Islamicist, communist, pedophile, Satan-worshipping, you know, just destroy America, people. And then I'll work with what I've got with Republicans. There's a lot of good state Republicans, some, a lot of good national ones. We've got a beachhead there. But then I watch the Republicans, you know, screw themselves and us over, and I'm even more pissed at them than they join up with Israel to bash us that are trying to stop this horrible war. And it just pisses me off. I don't blame people that get blackpilled and just throw their hands up. So give us your take on what the Democrats are going to do.
Well, I think if the Democrats win, what you're going to see is a massive undoing. I mean, I think people want Trump to deport more, but the fact of the matter is he has been deporting a lot. They're going to completely undo that in record time. Look at cities like Dearborn, Michigan, you know, Muslim centers that are in Texas, Texas of all places. You're going to have these Muslim enclaves in every major city in America. You're going to be importing people completely unfettered at a rate that we have never seen before, because that's how the Democrats continue to secure power. That's why all these DSA people, these Muslim people that are running for political power, they run under the Democrat banner because they know Republicans would never vote for them. It is going to be a level of woke, a level of oppression, a level of actual fascism that we've never witnessed probably since the lockdowns during 2020. This is bigger than arguing even about Charlie Kirk's assassination. This is a bigger fight than even the 2024 election was, because way more is on the line, because way more far leftist ideologies are gaining power across this country. They are getting enclaves even here in the Midwest. I mean, who would have thought Wisconsin, Texas, Michigan would have these towns with Arabic street signs? That's not the America I want to live in. That's not the America Alex Jones wants to live in, I'm sure. And if we stay apathetic and we get blackpilled, I fight against it so much. I understand, like you do, it's easy to get blackpilled because we haven't, I mean, it hasn't felt good probably since the Doge days, the first couple of weeks, you know, of the Trump presidency. Then everything fell apart. But what I'm trying to get people to understand is that, yeah, okay, if you didn't like Trump, well, you don't have to vote for him anymore. And it's going to be so much worse. Just think of Kamala Harris's word salads running, you know, in the White House. We have to refocus, understand the bigger picture, that maybe the second Trump term didn't turn out how we liked, but we picked the right guy the next time while still holding people accountable. I think we should still primary people who are not America first. I think that, but I think this idea of crossing over or withholding your vote is exactly what the left wants you to do. It is a demoralization operation run by several people. I've already mentioned it. I don't think that they're getting paid by anyone. I'm not making that claim, but it's quick. It's curious to me why these videos seem to always be trending on YouTube. It's curious to me why they seem to get, you know, put up to the, you know, in the X algorithm. I think, and I believe, that there is a concerted effort to demoralize the American right in a moment when, after Charlie Kirk's assassination, we should have been blowing them out. We should have been putting them all in prison. We should have been, you know, we should have been just completely destroying the left. And somehow, inorganically, in my opinion, now the right has spent the last year arguing with itself instead of worrying about other things. And like you said, like, we can't have the administration coming out and saying, we don't care about your $20 burritos. That's insane. That's like as bad as Hillary Clinton's basket of deplorables kind of stuff. People remember that. Americans are struggling. $4 to $7 a gallon per gas. It is too much. Trump has to course correct. And if he doesn't, we'll probably get total Democrat leadership in 2028, which would be disastrous. It could be the destruction of this country.
I agree with that, except then you have the Israel lobby basically being Trump's brain viciously coming out. And the neocons attacking anybody that even mildly criticizes what Trump's doing, trying to get him back on track, joining in. And that only supercharges the other side. And that's because the Israel lobby wants to fully take over MAGA. They want to demoralize, and they want to run out all the Trump supporters. So you miss that fact. You miss Trump. He called me low IQ and a burnout. Okay, great. But and I'm not an emotional person, but I thought it was funny. I love stuff that makes fun of me and everything, because I know who I am. My issue was, with a lot of people, the attacks were much worse. That they're traitors, yeah. They're scum, you know, all of that. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene was mildly criticizing him, and then he started calling her traitor, a scum, and stuff.
She called him a pedophile, Alex.
She said
he's protecting them.
I mean, I'm just saying, I think here's how
I think you've got the train of events wrong there.
Maybe she said she was protecting them. I have to. You maybe you're correct on that. Your memory is far better than mine. Here's what I'll say.
Well, Trump is protecting people that lied about deep relationships with Epstein, and he is.
So is every president. Yeah, I mean, so is the FBI. So is Cash Patel. We agree on that.
And but Trump was supposed to be different.
I know he was.
I oppose those other presidents. If I support what he didn't have to say stuff like, if you believe Epstein isn't a hoax, you're not MAGA. It was just the dumbest stuff ever.
I know, but I think I interpreted that as his involvement in it, him being in the files, but maybe he did mean it's a hoax.
I understand he meant his involvement. Now the Democrats were looking at it was a hoax. Then you counter it. But no, he wanted to protect Lex Wexner and Howard Ludwig and people.
All these people.
Yeah.
Probably. I'll even concede that point. But to the neocon attacks and to the pushback, I would say that's when you double down, Alex. This is what you're best at. When they attack you, you just come back twice as hard. The conversations on X are not real life. And when the neocons come out and say you're a traitor for criticizing him, ignore it. You get criticism more than anybody on the planet. You know exactly how to do that. I think that if you speak to the needs of the American people, the real needs, the cost of living crisis, all this kind of stuff, the long tail of that is you will be proven right. The jar will continue to overflow for you, Alex, of the Alex Jones was right jar. The infighting stuff, it's not going to accomplish anything. And, you know, when I didn't know how I was going to come in here to this conversation, I prayed on it this morning. And I'm really glad that it's gone the way that it's gone. And I think we both see each other's position much better after this than just X conversations. But I think that these attacks from the establishment should be met with, you know, local movements to get them voted out and to organize. And then the best organization to do that would be, of course, TPUSA. And by attacking them, I'm not saying you are. Attacking the movement, you know, there are many on the right that do, but you aren't. Attacking them, they're our best shot at primarying out some of these dorks. And if we can't primary them out, then, you know, I don't know what, I know I don't have the answer for that, but I think that it's better than blackpilling because voting still works. Donald Trump won in 2016 and he won in probably some people say 2020. But then he also won again in 2024. The will of the people was served. Now, was his second term great? It hasn't been. But
well, we're going into an economic disaster, and even if it happens after the midterms, I think it will probably happen right after them. We're already in it, but it's going to be very clear then. This is just bad news, and the messaging has just been terrible about we don't care about your economic problems. It's been absolutely terrible. All right. Well, Jeremy from The Quartering, thequartering.com, on X, The Quartering, Rumble, The Quartering. Very interesting discussion, and I appreciate you joining us today to discuss it.
Thanks for coming on. Thanks for having me on, Alex. Call. You're going to call Tim, right? You call Tim? Come on. Put Godzilla – use Godzilla for somebody who isn't, 95% on your side. You're Godzilla. He's Mothra.
No, he's Godzilla. This is right here. I'm fighting Tim Pool. Right? This is actual. This is not AI. This is real. Okay.
I saw it on the news this morning. It's 100% real. Please at least consider it because we need you guys united. Even if you disagree on this one issue, I can't say if he'll come on and talk to you or not.
I'm a gorilla. Murder yourself.
Alex, it's been great. I hope you'll consider it. And
hey, look, I just kicked Tim Pool's ass. That's real footage, folks.
There you go. The fight's over. Now, what happens after a fight?
Paid for by Qatari, Alex. The Qatarians for it.
Now you fought, and now you shake hands, and that's what real fighters do.
I don't think Tim wants that. I think he's going to want to strike back.
No, I think he would. I think he would be very open to it. I mean, if he strikes back, Alex, then go double Godzilla, nuclear Godzilla. But I just think we need your voice is so important. And we need criticizing Trump.
Well, according to Tim, I have no audience anymore because I'm anti-war. The war is super popular, which is just pure crap. That's why I thought it was a talking point. It looked like a talking point. It was put out by everybody else. That's why I got pissed. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon, Jeremy. Thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
And I owe it to Salty Cracker for saying he's the same guy. They don't really look the same. I'm kind of retarded, as I said. I know that I know nothing, to quote Socrates. All right, let's stop right there. Here's what I've got. I'm not up here even trying to bash Israel constantly, but Israel's so out of control, this leadership, you can't help it, okay? So I'll be talking about this with Joel Webbin in studio, in the interview studio that I'll go to here at the bottom of the hour in a few minutes. Syria says Israel struck military airport. U.S. envoy plans Israel's unsavory escalation. U.S. envoy pans or criticizes Israel's unsavory escalation. This is that new three-front war I said was about to open up. And then IDF making detained Palestinians with numbers during raid expresses remorse because, remember, the Nazis put the tattoos and numbers on the Jews. But, I mean, this is just the optics. It's like Ben-Gavir says we have a quota of how many Palestinians we kill a day. It's just like, could you act more villainously? Could you engage in more bizarre behavior? So that's all coming up. We're going to look at actress that mysteriously died right after she talked about being human trafficked and said she was going to name names. That's Hayden Panettiere. And we've got the video clip of her talking about that. That is all coming up in the last hour and a half of the transmission with Joel Webbin, who's putting on the huge conservative populist event of the year starting in November. Christ is King, America After Trump. A lot of amazing speakers. I'm going to be there. So also want all you to know about that so you can secure your place there because it will be capacity. It's all coming up in the next hour and a half. Remember, you're the Paul Revere's. Bad guys don't want the link getting shared for the live feed at Real Alex Jones on X at rumble.com/Alex Jones Show Live. And of course, you can find all the feeds. They're all free. Audio feeds, video feeds, everything. All the censored information at alexjoneslive.com. And then finally, I'm very excited about this because it is a great deal. We have a new ready mount gun magnet that is adjustable from the biggest 44 Magnum, you know, down to your little 380. It just adjusts and it holds up to 10 pounds with the N52 rare earth magnet rated to hold up to 10 pounds. These sell in stores for 50, 60 bucks all day. You get a great deal when you get it for like 39. The magnet is normally $29.95 at thealexjonesstore.com. It's $19.95 right now for everybody, except VIPs get it for $15.99. That is an insane deal at thealexjonesstore.com. And so stock up on those. They also make great gifts. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And this deal is about to close out because there's only a few hundred of these left. Not of the bovine colostrum, but the first 1,000 people, I plugged this yesterday, like 800 had done it as of showtime. Bovine colostrum subscription fundraiser. You subscribe, canceling time for free. Designed to support gut health, immune health, nutrient absorption, whole body recovery. We have the very best bovine colostrum out there. If you don't know what it is, look into it. We have the best. 72% off or at cost when you subscribe and lock in $19.59 a month. Locked in for life. Cancel any time for free. Only the first 1,000 people get it, and it's about to be the 1,000 filled up. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. The widest selection of Patriot T-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. And the Ultra Methylene Blue, we have the best. We have the best Shilajit. We have the best Irish Shea Moss. We have the best creatine. We have the best of everything. It is just an amazing site, and it funds this operation. We sell you things that really work, that people really love, that are already top-rated and bestsellers. Anything you find on the site is amazing. We're almost sold out of the second round. It's the last round, you know, a shipment of the 250th anniversary fundraiser coin with the Jerusalem cross on it and more. Get those as well at thealexjonesstore.com. We'll air a few promos. We'll have extra time in the other studio. And then Joel Webbin in studio. Massive transmission straight ahead. Turtle live feeds now. Stay with us. All right. We will just have some silent enjoyment for everybody. And we will maybe play some Jeopardy music for you in the background so that we can all relax and enjoy ourselves. And so we were going to air some really
this
cool
information
promos.
We cover is not number one, it's everything. This is not some political genre. This is a fight for civilization and our very lives.
You hear all these movies about coaches and stuff. Get out there and win, and they all care, and they come together, and it's triumphant. That's for a game. But we recognize that because we're supposed to be able to come together and do great things. So I love interdimensional time spaces because we can fix things that happen live later. I communicated to the crew. I said 5 minutes, 15 seconds till we break. Air this really cool promo we haven't aired in a while. And then I'll have time to get down to the other studio. And then it was just miscommunicated because I don't know what's going on. I love it. I actually like it. So what I think happens is I talk so much. I don't blame the crew. There's a lot of people in the control room that they're, stuff's going on. And so they don't hear me. So that's cool. So now we're going to have this flawless and cool because then I'm going to go to break in a few minutes. We're going to come back and we're going to air that promo coming out of the break at 33 after at 1:33 Central Standard Time on August 18th, Tuesday, 2026, year of our Lord. And it is going to be amazing. And it is going to be incredible. And it is going to happen. And then look at this giant stack of news that I haven't even gotten to yet. And so much more that we're going to be getting to, getting my stack ready. I'm looking and thinking, God, there is so much hit in an hour and a half that is so illustrative of all the things that we're talking about and all the things that we're going to be dealing with here today. Like the Great Siege of Malta, I was so excited to hear that the great Mel Gibson is going to be making a TV series about the Great Siege of Malta, where we had the Moors and the Ottoman Empire, that are now invading Spain again, trying to take over Malta, but only a very small number of knights defeated them. This is the type of Christendom story that we need. And I want to play a clip of Mel Gibson talking about this, the Great Siege of Malta. And you see, meanwhile, Dutch farmers literally formed a shield of tractors to point out the globalists are shutting down their farms, invading them in the agenda 2030. And look at the Dutch farmers and that giant shield that they formed. People are really waking up. And once the West wakes up, it is going to be bye-bye to the New World Order. But Mel Gibson is now working on his mini-series about the siege of Malta, or Yalta, however you want to say it, where 700 Christian knights defeated 40,000 Ottomans. Here's that clip.
Working on a TV limited series about the siege of Malta, which is an incredible story. And there's only one place to film that. I mean, in Malta, because that's where it happened, at these fortresses, where 700 knights defended Malta against an onslaught from the Turkish. Yes. And Suleiman sent 40,000 men and ships, and, wow, the knights won. So, pretty crazy. I'd like to be in it, but I don't know if I'll have the time, But I certainly want to be, like, a producer of it, and I've worked with a very talented writer on the script. It's going to be good for somebody. I know that. It's a great story.
Good to know what we've been through. The Crusades were a response to 700 years of Islamic invasion. And, of course, this came a couple hundred years into the Crusades. And then the first war we had to fight that Thomas Jefferson had to launch, even though he was anti-war, was the Muslims in the Mediterranean and other areas grabbing our ships. So that's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. You go, well, great, let's bomb the Persians. That's not the ones we were fighting. And we're starting this now, and Israel's trying to run our policy. It'd be one thing if we were having this war and Israel wasn't running it and getting us to do it. I'd still be against it, but not as frothing. I don't want anybody running our country, and I just think that is so simple. All right, Joel Webbin coming up right now at Joel Webbin on X. Really great guy, really smart, putting on this huge conference, Crisis King, America After Trump, and I got a bunch of big news items that I'm going to be hitting with him on the other side. So be sure and join us. You're the Paul Revere's, and share those live feeds at Real Alex Jones on X and at alexjoneslive.com, the new news site. The bad guys don't want you to promote that. Please do. Thank you so much.
This sword has tasted blood, and it will taste more.
Attack!
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there's a little bit of a psyop afoot.
Well, I said that the other day when I had you guys coming on. I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat, your own enemy. He does that to guests. It was like Theo Von, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globalists are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, you'll get Masterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that, mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs. That's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
Completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff. It brings in the key sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. You're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like
this. Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff. It doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
This information we cover is not, number one, it's everything. This is not some political genre. This is a fight for civilization and our very lives. You hear all these movies about coaches and stuff get out there and win, and they all care, and they come together, and it's triumphant. That's for a game. But we recognize that because we're supposed to be able to come together and do great things. So the system goes, oh, you go out and do a children's thing. You go out and play a sport. That's where you put your manhood. That's who we honor. That's who we admire. Then they even take that away from you and put men and women sports. It's all about taking every human institution and destroying it.
That was sweet, huh? Did you like that? Yeah!
So you watch these coaches in games, especially the playoffs, and they're just, everybody looks at the coach. That's good. It's how a man's supposed to act. He really cares. He's got the numbers, the facts. He knows the other side. He's on the ball. Because you're supposed to do that in life and business and culture and health and with your relationship with God. You're supposed to act like that about the real world, like Trump and Elon Musk are. Instead, these evil little nerds who weren't in the cool club and hate everybody, and they love passive-aggressive murder. it thrills them to know they're growing spike protein in everyone and killing everyone and making money off of it while they do it, and we're too stupid to figure it out. And you look at that photo with Fauci, like, holding Hotez, and Hotez was on TV, like, he'll be laughing new pandemics. Trump will have it crashing down. He won't stop us. Your children need more shots. You don't think they don't know what it's doing? They did it on purpose. And so you've seen FBI chief counsel in Connecticut go, yeah, we wouldn't start the lawsuits on Jones. You've seen the CIA, FBI undercover videos are like, yeah, we couldn't take him out criminally. We investigated him and found out he didn't do anything wrong. And yeah, under, you know, national security. So we went and set all this up and ran PR about him and demonized him with stuff he never did so we could then do this. They did that to America. They did that to families. They did that to God. They did that to X and Y chromosome. They're attacking it all because it's in the way of their devilish plan. It's to kill, steal, and destroy.
Alex Jones. Tomorrow's news today.
These new data centers will oversee everyone in the galaxy. I will be in full control.
Power levels are stable. Proceed with the install. Copy that. Installing the module now. Connection confirmed. All green.
Cable secured. Power to the cluster. Initiating boot sequence. Component locked. Running diagnostics. Archive systems online. Report to command.
Construction team, report status. Power grid stable, TK421. Cabling complete, no faults. Proceed to phase two for the Empire.
Things are going according to plan. The Emperor will be happy. The Empire demands perfection.
Status report. Any anomalies?
Diagnostics are clear, sir.
Proceed with the calibration. Watch for fluctuations.
I find your desire for privacy insignificant. The Empire's new data network will observe every corner of the galaxy, every signal, every act of disloyalty.
A disturbance in the Force there is. Feel it, you can.
Those who obey have nothing to fear. Those who resist will be terminated.
The NASCARs, fire shooting out of them tailpipes. We're going from 1,500 horsepower to 2,500. Boom! Gonna break the sound barrier. And if you think having the biggest show ever in English-speaking media, which I had for at least 3 years, was big, nothing is gonna stop everything that's coming. It's like atomic testing waking up Godzilla. That's what they've done. That which does not kill me only makes me stronger. So, I'm Godzilla, and your ass is Tokyo. Politically, lovingly, nonviolently.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones at alexjoneslive.com. You are the Paul Revere's. Share the links and spread the word. We've only just begun to fight.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live on this Tuesday transmission, and we have in studio with us Joel Levin, who I've followed for years, I've gotten to know really well, was up with a big debate we were part of a few weeks ago, that's going to air soon, Mr. Strzok put on. Joe Levin is the founder of NRX Studios, president of Right Response Ministries, and pastor of a local church in Georgetown, Texas, north of Austin. He is a husband and a father of five, and more on the way. So at Joel Webben on X, W-E-B-B-O-N. And I'm familiar with his conferences because I've seen a lot of the video from them. I'm very honored to be headlining Christ is King, America After Trump, a three-day conference featuring myself and so many other great people like Joel Webben, J.P. Sears, James Fishback, and so many others, Alex Stein, the list goes on and on. That's in Dallas, Texas, November 12th through the 14th, 3 days, and you can see the URL there on screen. But this is going to be really, really important. And by the way, you already had a deal for people with a promo code today that I thought was insane. This is, you know, if anybody wants to go to, promo code Alex Jones gets you 20% off. But you just decided while we were sitting here until midnight tonight, that's 8-18-26, use code FISHBACK to help promote what he's doing and get 40% off the three-day conference, off tickets to the Christ is King America After Trump three-day conference. So you can see there the URL. People should go to the site. What is the best site for them to go to?
So they just go to newchristianright.com/conference. newchristianright.com/conference. And I got to say, Alex, number one, thanks for having me. Number two, today is the election for the GOP primary in Florida. And this is the moment. I understand that it's David versus Goliath. It's, you know, everything is against Fishback. But there really is a chance. I've seen some of the polls within 5%. Some of the polls are saying, and it's possible that he could be pushed over the line, even if he doesn't win. If Fishback puts up 20-25%, then the GOP will be studying his race for years to come. And what it says, it gives this clarion call to the GOP that's, you know, the neocons and all these people have been soft, and says, no, an unapologetic Christian man who wants to shut down abortion clinics, that wants to get rid of foreign influence, that wants to put Floridians first, is actually viable. So go out and vote Fishback, and then also use promo code Fishback. It's just for today, 12 p.m. Pacific time. The code ends. But if you use all caps Fishback, one word, and go to newchristianright.com/conference, 40% off.
Absolutely. And my eyes used to be 2015. They're not as good as they used to be. We probably need to make a URL that's just by itself, newchristianright.com/conference, that so people that have eyesight diminishing like mine can see that on screen. And on screen it says use Alex for 20%. That's after midnight Pacific time. So people have 12 hours roughly to get 40% off already a three-day conference of this quality and caliber. That is an incredible deal, the price you already had at the regular price. 20% off is a great deal. 40% off is insane. So don't use promo code Alex. That's if you miss it today. Use promo code Fishback at newchristianright.com/conference. Go sign up now. And I'm already thinking about the big, powerful speech I'm going to give. I want to get into all the news with you. But first, talk about yourself. Talk about your ministry. Talk about, because you've been around a while, but you're really getting aggressive, having a huge effect. And these conversations that you're doing are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And what's going to happen at this conference? Because really, nothing against Team USA, nothing against CPAC, but they're milquetoast, really Republican, compared to what you guys are doing, really cutting to the heart of what's happening. And, you know, even if Fishback doesn't win today, Ron Paul ran several times and didn't win, but we built the beachhead in the Republican Party. We educated and informed the Republican Party about being anti-establishment, and it also brought in a lot of the populist right wing to it, really laid the groundwork for Trump. Now, he did a lot of great work. I'm glad I, you know, endorsed him in the last 10 years. He's gone sideways now. The left says, oh, you admit you were wrong. No, it was great. That's why it's such a loss to see him going sideways in so many ways. But regardless, with people like Fishback, who's so eloquent, putting really key topics in there, this is building a beachhead for not just for him to win in the future, but for others too. So this is the first marathon you enter, you don't normally win.
Right.
And you know, the first time you play football, you're not in the NFL. But if we don't try, we don't engage, we don't inform, we don't involve, we don't build networks, this is what it's all about. I mean, I started out on Access TV 32 years ago, got a local show a couple of years in, got syndicated soon, but then it's been a lot of ups and downs. It's a process, but it's those that persevere that win in the end. And with the democratic socialists, with the economic collapse that's baked in, with the challenges we're facing, if people think things are bad now, it's going to get so serious in the future. But in this climate of tyranny is fertile ground, like sunlight, good soil, and good seeds, and good fertilizer for liberty to bloom. If you think you've seen an explosion of awakening now, the globalists have been in all their internal documents. There's a global awakening, a fourth turning. They can't stop it. We have to recognize, though, it's a long haul. Now, things are compressed during a turning, so in the space and time of revolution, things are lightning fast, but still, as a human, it'll still seem slow, but things are moving very, very quickly. We have the initiative. We're winning the battles. We will win the war unless we give up and demand instant gratification.
Absolutely. Yeah, Fishback is a prototype. You're absolutely right. So even if he doesn't win, like Ron Paul, it still changes the game. It does not change the game. I'll admit right now, if the results come in this evening and Fishback is 3%, then I'm going to be laughed at. He's going to be laughed at, and nobody's going to take it seriously. But I'm going to put my neck on the line. I believe that Fishback will get at least 20% in this primary GOP election. And I'm praying, there are many people, members of my local church that are praying and fasting today, hoping that he wins. And the reason why it matters is because, for the longest time, everybody says, oh, you need to tone it down. You need to be milquetoast. You need to, like what you just said about CPAC and TPUSA and all these kinds of things. If you want to win, then you need to have a broad coalition. A broad coalition, in a word, means compromised. You're going to have to somehow give up some of your principles, give up some of your convictions. And Fishback is saying, no, I'm not going to bend on any of those things. I'm going to be against big tyrannical government, against foreign influence, whether it be Israel or Qatar or anybody else. And at the same time, I'm going to hold to the cultural issues that conservatives have always held to, being pro-life and shutting down abortion clinics. He's one of the only guys in this Florida primary race who's been willing to just say blatantly that abortion is murder. For me, as a Christian, that's enough right there.
He's the only real revolutionary.
Exactly. So if he can put up some serious numbers, even if he doesn't win, and I think he can win, but even if he doesn't win, if he puts up serious numbers, it says something. So you asked me about myself. I've been a pastor pretty much my whole adult life. A local pastor, but what happened for me, Alex, is really about, well, like a lot of people, 2020. Around that timeline in 2020, I was pastoring a church in California. End of 2020, we moved to Texas. I was born and raised in Texas, so I'm a Texas native. But my wife and I, we just had our third kid. We went through all the Branch Covidian madness and Gavin Newsom and all that kind of stuff. And we're like, we're getting out of Dodge. We handed over the church. The church was in good hands. It's still thriving. It's still doing well there. I came with seven families, like a little, it's almost like we were pioneers,
covered
with the
wagons.
Yeah, exactly. And we moved out to Texas, back to my old stomping grounds, growing up, born and raised in Texas, and started a church in my living room in, this was the end of 2020, December is when we moved. We started April 2021. Since then, by the grace of God, and God gets all the glory, we've grown to, we're not a mega church, and I don't want to ever really be a mega church, but we're about 2 to 250 people now. And basically what happened for me is I realized I never want to do something less than preaching the word of God. People's souls, their families, their parenting, their marriage, all these things matter immensely. I want to administer word and sacrament on the Lord's Day, point people towards heavenly things, the things that are eternal. But at the same time, there's a difference. I know you know this, and many of your listeners will, but to put some theological language on it, piety means personal holiness. Every Christian should aspire towards that. Pietism, like most words, when you add ism, is a bad thing. Pietism
is the Pharisees.
Yeah, it's legalism, but it's also apathy. It's being so heavenly bound that you're no earthly good. And I just realized as a pastor, yes, I want to be able to help sanctify the souls of men so that they will enter into eternal glory, heavenly life, all these things. At the same time, though, if Christians don't wield power, this is where James Lindsay is an idiot, and he's not a Christian.
Well, I mean, go back to the Revolutionary War. It was the Black Brigade, because the pastors were
right.
Catholic or Protestant.
The Black Regiment.
Yeah, the Black Regiment, they were the ones pushing the whole thing.
That's right. They would be preaching the word on the Lord's Day, administering the Lord's Supper and baptism, and then they would rip off their clerical robes, and they'd be dressed in uniform, military uniform underneath, hop on their horse, and lead the charge. Right? The same guy who was in the pulpit, these priests were not limp-wristed priests. They were men. They were masculine. And they knew that, yes, we have to preach Christ and Him crucified. We are saved, eternally speaking, by grace through faith in Christ alone, but the world actually matters. We have this Gnostic, it's actually a heresy, this Gnosticism idea that the world is something that, because of sin, the world is something that God hates now, that it's all bad, but like Frodo said, there's some good still in this world.
Well, there are these preachers saying, thank God all this bad's happening, means Jesus is about to come back. We're supposed to occupy until God's return.
That's right. He could come back tomorrow.
You look at the Old Testament, New Testament, all the prophets and Jesus do is go out and expose evil. They're They're not hiding.
That's right.
And he was always calling it the Pharisees that were just basically talking about how good they were and then locked themselves in the law to do nothing.
That's right. Exactly. So we got to do something. We can't be apathetic. We can't be cowards. We can't be passive. And so, yes, we care about the things that are eternal as Christians. We can't be idolaters, that we care more about the world than we care about the life to come. But there's a way of prioritizing. Caring about something most doesn't mean that you care about all the other things not at all. So as a true Christian who's not a Gnostic heretic, I care about the Lord. I care about eternal salvation. I care about heaven more than anything else. But I also, as a husband and a father, I've got five
kids.
Well,
the fight for the souls is here now.
That's right. Exactly. Fight for souls. And here's the thing.
I mean, this is the waiting room to eternity. So the idea that, oh, this doesn't even matter. No, this is all the test for that.
That's right. And the fight for souls, one of the conducive context environments for that is freedom of speech. It is that Christianity is flourishing. People say, well, if we get more persecution, if things get worse, that'll actually translate into more souls being saved. Well, God has used persecution to bring about revival. That's true. But you study church history, the most revival and the most souls being saved that we've ever seen is not actually under persecution, but it's when Christendom in Europe was actually flourishing.
On the offense.
That's right.
Well, we have to go on the offense. And I've said Crusades 2.0, that doesn't mean bomb Iraq, go to war with the Iranians, but it means kick these foreigners out, secure our homelands, be really serious about this, promote our ideals worldwide, and basically, you know, not let this cancer in. It's a cultural, spiritual, economic, and then when we're pushed, military crusade. It's that or capitulation and total destruction.
That's
so
right.
I am calling for the launch of the Second Crusades. And, you know, the First Crusades took hundreds and hundreds of years of persecution and much of Europe and Spain overrun until we did it. We don't have 500 years to wait. We must launch the new Crusades now. And I believe looking at the groundswell of understanding and awakening and the Islamic expansion, I believe when people look back historically that you can look around right around this time that the Second Great Crusade has begun.
One of the things I appreciate about you, Alex, I've been watching you for years, but especially recently, you've kept your head. You've kept a level head. You and I, by the grace of God, he gets the glory, but we're big boys. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. Islam has been a formidable enemy of the church for 1,400 years. There is no peace with Islam. It's all about global domination and submission. And so you and I can say, we're not partnering with the Muslims. At the same time, Israel is a problem. So we can actually walk and chew gum at the same time, because one of the things that I know you've noticed and I've noticed as well is...
They think you're supposed to be in one camp or the other.
That's right. They get wise.
What are you doing
Israel
criticizing
stuff?
Netanyahu controlling Congress? Are you with Mondami? And I'm like, no. Meanwhile, Israel's created Hamas, funds Hamas, using Al-Qaeda in Syria, now bombing him today.
Right.
If you want to look at who's actually funding it, it's British, U.S., and Israeli intelligence.
That's right.
But they pointed us when we're against these wars and say, we're Muslims, we're getting Qatari money. I didn't get an airplane from Qatar like Trump. Jack crap, except the Muslims attacking me.
I am not getting funded and have never really had the opportunity to do so. But you do have to realize that, it may be every single time, you know, it's not every single Stein. So I'll be careful in the way that I frame this. But the right-wing politics here in America that's very Zionist, very pro-Israel, what we do is we do their bidding when it comes to geopolitics and war, and we displace Muslims. But then the left ends up in power, and a lot of the policies that are pushed disproportionately.
And brings the pissed-off Muslims here.
Exactly. So it's like people say Islam is one of the biggest problems. Well, here's the deal. I'm not trying to be unnecessarily provocative or rude, but Muslims, for the most part, they throw rocks. And if there's an ocean separating
us... No, it's the globalist leftist NGO alliance is the real problem.
Muslims are a problem because they're here. And then the question is, what brings them here? And the reality is, a lot of it is pro-Israel policies on the right that displaces them, and then on the left that actually brings them as refugees and immigrants here.
Fully so consciously. We have all these top rabbis bragging about...
We know this.
...how they're doing it to us.
Right. So we've got to deal with both. We've got to deal with Islam, but also the pro-Zionist Israel politics in America.
I think one of Israel's biggest problems is, I know that rabbinically they have a wide spectrum of beliefs, and I try to be clear about that, but the ones in charge now, the ones advising Netanyahu, say, we're the new Rome, they're going to get us,
right.
We're going to fall, and they'll have, you know, propaganda on the news about we're loving, we're good, but then on Israeli TV, Hitler wasn't this bold about racial cleansing and things. Right. So, I mean, there's no way I can sign on to this. Like, Trump covering up Epstein, as much as I like what Trump was doing, even though I know he wasn't involved from what I've seen himself, if I now cover up for Trump, I am now an accomplice. And I'm just, people say, gosh, suddenly the last year you turn against Trump. Well, he changed. I mean, I'm sorry. I cannot do that.
That's right.
I cannot, like, sign on to this. I can't become an acolyte of Howard Lutnick.
That's right. Yeah. No,
by the way, when it was first coming out, I just guesstimated when Musk left, like last June or whatever it was. And I said on air, I said, I bet it's Howard Lutnick living next door to him. I said, I bet that's who he's covering up for. First and foremost, White House calls in 2 hours. I'm going to leave out who called me. But they're like, you know, he's a great guy. No, 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 please stop, please stop. And I had just done that almost as a test when I said it. Like it's like the Holy Spirit. I'm like, I'm going to say Howard Lutnick. I bet that's probably who they're covering up for is Patient Zero that'll come out. I said, people ought to find that in June. I said, I bet it'll be Lutnick first. That wasn't me. That was the Holy Spirit. People say, what is the Holy Spirit? I mean, it's real, folks. And it's that little voice. And it's like, this doesn't come from my brain. And then boom, I got confirmation of it.
You said you won't say who called you. I'm just going to, you know, just randomly, this has nothing to do with the conversation. Jared Kushner.
No, I never talked to Jared Kushner. Right. And here's the problem. You know, I noticed one thing they were doing to Candace Owens in the debate was, tell us your sources. And they go, ooh, you won't. As if the audience doesn't know. The number one thing of journalism is don't give up your sources.
Yeah.
Because obviously they want to tell you what's happening. You learn who are good sources, who aren't.
And they'll never tell you again if you give them up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've even had people that later say you can say it, but then I said too much, then they get mad at me. So I'm kind of actually known as a guy you got to watch out with the source, let's be honest. Even though I actually am very clear, then they just don't like what happens when they said go ahead and say it's them. So I've gotten more controlled about it. Yeah, I'm not gonna say who. It's just the point was, literally the phone started. I mean, one day I was on air and the producer saw this like 8 years ago, because these producers knew who it was because the person had been here from the White House. And I said, I know who Q is. It's a consortium. Trump approved it, but it's a high level. That's about was Bannon, and one other guy was a guy sit down there and talk to us, and he did it with the news director. Rob New was there and stuff. And people were saying, you don't know who Q is. You're below. I said, fine, I'm going to say it's these White House people. And all of a sudden, boom, within 1 hour, that person calls the producer and says, please stop. And the crew thought that was quite the deal. I mean, because it's just Q. Talk about Gnostic. It has this magical power. They're like, you can't. God doesn't even know Q. You're like, Q is above God. And the fact that I would know who Q was is just, it's impossible.
Right. I like what you said, going back for just a moment, in terms of Israel and some of the guys. It's not all of them, but there are some integral, higher up religious individuals who are associated with, you know, Netanyahu, in some intimate ways. And when they push, a lot of people think that, you know, the biggest enemy of Israel is Islam. And that may be for the average Israeli citizen, but for a lot of these religious guys, when they think of their deepest, darkest grievance, they're not thinking about Muslim countries. They're thinking about Rome. And you think, well, what Titus. Does that have to do with us? That's right. Emperor Titus, well, he later became emperor in AD 70, the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple and all those kinds of things. And you think, well, that's Rome. What does that have to do with us? Well, very few times in the province of God does an entire people group actually get wiped out. That does happen in the Old Testament, Amalek, and, you know, these kinds of things. But most of the time,
I would guess you would say it was the Zealots, which these guys follow out of, that were their own worst enemy, starting to fight with the Romans. But to stay yes. there, we got to go to break. Let's come back with this history lesson. In fact, I've got some quotes here by rabbis about this. These are top rabbis, too. We have them. We have Netanyahu saying they're his rabbi. And I'm supposed to just, me and my family need to be destroyed because of Romans? Nothing against Italians. They're great people, but I've had my genetic testing. I don't have one drop of Italian blood. I need to die for this? My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for 1 second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political.
This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
On a cold and rainy night, I was sitting in the light of my switchman's shack, a mine post on the mountain. The storm was pretty bad, and the telephone.
All right, Phil Webber got caught off by the break. Some stations don't care this first five. We'll join stations in 6 minutes. But you know, I mean, I can pull up how they call the whole West Edom. It's not just a small minority of rabbis. It's the most powerful ones over there. Netanyahu talks about it. And so you're right. You've got Rome sacking the temple. They've been pissed off ever since. And it's really just an excuse to act like monsters to claim that people of the West, I mean, as if people, Italians today with ancestors that were Romans, how do people 2,000 years ago, what they did, get blamed? But you were saying own worst enemies. I think these rabbis are their own worst enemies. Yeah. They were the zealots. Rome treated the Jews pretty good because they could read and write and they respected them. They pretty much had autonomy, but I'm not defending the Roman Empire. They were killing Christians at the time, but I mean, it was like nobody beaten the Romans yet. It was kind of a dumb thing to do.
Yes. But that's the thing is that Rome, you have to realize it took a few centuries, but by the fourth century, Rome eventually became Christian. It became literally the Roman religion.
The same rabbi says in the tape we played, like the top one you mentioned in the break, right. He says, Christian Rome destroyed our temple. At that time, the Romans were barbecuing Christians.
That's right. Yeah, they weren't Christian at the time, but later on, they did evolve into Christianity. Think of Constantine and then the Roman Empire and the ways that it branched out. And yeah, you have Italians as the genetic descendants, but a lot of these rabbis, they see it as all white people, all of the West. They basically see,
including America.
Including America. So they see Rome as the seedbed of the Christian West. And so as much as they have a beef against Islam, and that might be the most urgent enemy that they're facing, they have never forgotten, nor have they forgiven.
Well, they brag they're importing Muslims here to pay us back.
As the broom of Judaism.
Yes.
What they call Islam. The broom of Judaism that is sweeping clean the West for a greater Israel to take over, to rule the Goy, these kinds of things. And so, you just have to recognize, again, it's not every single Stein, but it is.
But I get calls from like Jewish people I've had on the show. I don't even dislike. They go, why are you being so anti-Semitic? And I'm like, guys, you've got the worst of your group running things, declaring war on us. I'm supposed to just sit there and not say what you're saying?
Right, exactly. So you have to recognize that there are some individuals that may not represent the whole, but there are individuals. It is disproportional, and those individuals are higher up, and many of them actually have a personal relationship with Netanyahu, are either his rabbi or his friend or associated with him in some way, influencing. The point is, it's not just geopolitics. It is deeply religious. It's deeply religious.
And Netanyahu says, read this book about how we're really at war with Rome. And we will win.
Right.
And he looks over Pompeo and he goes, you're the good Pompeo, not your ancestor. And it's just like, dude, like, why are you declaring war on us?
Right. Your whole country, the modern state, nation state of Israel, exists because of us. It wouldn't even exist if we hadn't instituted it. And you're declaring war on us behind the scenes. And you can see the footage. Harrison put together that montage of all these clips.
State front war.
Yeah. So it's undeniable. So anyways, all that is to say, but you can walk and chew gum at the same time. So Islam, we're going to partner with them. No, we're not. If you are a Christian, there can be no peace with Islam. What fellowship does Christ have with Allah? And yet at the same time, that doesn't mean, oh, and so then we're Zionist. Neither one is being an ally towards us, and so we're not going to be an ally towards them.
And then the Muslims are really good, though. They're like, oh, we love Jesus. He's a prophet. It's totally different.
Yeah, this is what I tell people. Muslims love the fake Jesus and Jews, speaking not ethnically, every single one, but religiously, Orthodox Jews hate the real Jesus. Muslims love a fake Jesus because it's not the Jesus of the Bible. It is true that Islam holds Jesus in esteem, but they deny his deity. In other words, they take all the teachings of Jesus, the things that Jesus said about Jesus, and they deny it. So it's not the real Jesus. So Muslims love a Jesus that doesn't actually exist.
Called a counterfeit.
Right, exactly. So they love a fake Jesus, and then Orthodox Jews hate the real Jesus and believe that he's the bastard son of a whore and that he's currently
in hell and feces.
That's right, exactly. So neither one is a friend. That said, though, you do have to realize that this, at the end of the day, it's like, oh, well, Muslims, even though they deny the deity of Christ, they still esteem him as a prophet. That's a lot better than the Jews, you know, Orthodox Jews would say. They think he's a blasphemer, a false prophet, all these things. But here's the deal. The way you treat Jesus, right, Christ, that matters, but also the way that you treat Christ's followers, Christians. Muslims, when it comes to the way they treat Christians, again, not every single one of them, but there are places in the world today.
Hold on, stay there, back in 60 seconds. Let's explain this. This is important.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. It's Alex Jones.
Webbin is a busy guy. Just set up his new church about 5 years ago. Central Texas had one before that, and it just exploded into international ministry. Battling for the heart and soul of the West, which is the cradle of Christianity, really the central pillar holding up societies. We were getting into the central issue that a large portion of the rabbis and the dominant rabbis in Israel, and there's thousands of videos of this, including top ones in Israel, are mad about the Romans sacking their second temple they want to rebuild. And they say, whether it's Europe or America, we're all the new Rome, we deserve to get it. And I mean, I'd read rabbis saying that. I'd read their interpretations before. Really, a lot of their, you know, books actually say when the Jews are apostate, you know, they are actually that. But the point is, this is what's driving this. And they say Islam's not really even their main enemy because they're not idol worshipers. And they're the broom that's going to sweep out the West. And that, you know, soon we're going to fall and be destroyed and pay for what our ancestors did. So this is a form of reparations.
Right, it's blood guilt.
Yeah, blood guilt.
That's how they see it. It's so funny that, you know, Jews are always concerned that we're going to have some perspective of blood guilt towards them. Meanwhile, again, not all of them, but some of these higher up rabbis, they absolutely have a blood guilt framework when it comes to all the Christian West. If you're in a European country or you're in America, they see you as the direct descendants of Rome. If not genetically, like Italians, then they see it spiritually, just by virtue of you being Christians. Even though Rome was not Christian at the time that they sacked Jerusalem, they were used by God, but providentially, not because they were following Christ, but later on, through Constantine, Rome did become a Christian empire.
Well, they tell them Christ does say, before your generation passes, not one stone will be on top of the other, pointing at the temple. Tell the story.
That's right, yeah. So that's Matthew 24. It's the Olivet Discourse. This is one of the most profound and accurate, explicit, and very detailed prophecies of Christ. And it really matters because when we think of Christian apologetics, that's making a defense of the Christian faith.
And they've now found scrolls that predate the sacking. They said, oh, that was written after. No, they've found scrolls predating the sacking that quote him exactly saying this.
Exactly. And so Jesus says, he points to the temple. right? This is the Mount Olivet, this discourse. And he says, you see that temple, I tell you the truth, not one stone will stand upon another. And because of the smoke and the fires and all these things, the gold that was used in the temple, it melted down the stones and got stuck in the seams and the cracks of the stones. And what the Romans did after they sacked Jerusalem and the temple, they actually took apart every single individual stone to scrape the gold off. This is a perfectly fulfilled prophecy by Christ. And he says, I tell you the truth, before this generation passes away. And people say, well, that's just talking about a metaphor, a type of people, a type of generation. No, Jesus is being literal in this instance. He's saying this generation that I'm preaching to right now, within 40 years time, right, approximately 80-30, as Jesus is giving this sermon, and then it's 80-70, 40 years later, and the Hebrew conception of a generation is about 40 years of time, just like wandering the wilderness, right, in the Exodus, 40 years, one generation, and it's all fulfilled. And many Jews today, not all, but many Jews today, and especially these rabbis, they see Rome as this great enemy of Israel, and they see the Christian West as its direct
spiritual descendant. But what do they say about Jesus predicting the destruction of the temple before this generation dies? Which happened?
Yeah, well, they would just say that, I don't know, they would say that he was doing the bidding of Satan, or that he was, you know, he's a false prophet, or he predicted it by accident, or whatever, but this isn't really God's will. But there's so many things that happen, like the scapegoat that they would send, right? So one goat would be sacrificed on the Day of Atonement, the other one would be sent into the wilderness with the imputed sins of the people. And you can track this from rabbinical literature, that they would tie a piece of wool around the scapegoat and send it out into the wilderness, and when it would come back, this wool, they would have dyed it in blood, red. Like it would be red like scarlet. When it would come back white as snow. After AD 70 and the destruction of the temple, they kept up this practice in Israel, the rabbis, but when it would come back, this goat, instead of it being white as snow, it would still be red. It's like God was supernaturally saying, this old covenant is wrapped up like a garment. It's done away with. There is a new way of finding forgiveness, and it's in my son Jesus Christ alone. All these things changed.
It's wild. What's going to be covered at the conference, which I'm going to get into the news now, but this is big news. This is going to be a big conference. You put on great conferences November 12th, 13th, 14th in Dallas. NewChristianRight.com/conference. You were doing 20% off just for the show today for everybody.
And that's every day. So Alex Jones, Alex Jones, all caps, one word from today all the way up until the conference. If they register at any point for this conference, use Alex Jones, all caps, one word, 20% off. So the regular price is $250, but we would not charge that amount for one night. This is a 3-day conference. It's
a great deal.
Yeah,
but,
it's a good deal.
But with Fish Back, you get 40.
Yes, sir. So that's for today only at 12 p.m. Pacific time, midnight, 12 a.m. Midnight today, right? It's Fishback's election. It's happening right now. So if you use Fishback, all caps as the promo code, go to newchristianright.com/conference. newchristianright.com/conference. Use Fishback, all caps. That only works today, but it's going to get you 40% off. So $250 comes all the way down to $150, which is, I think, an incredible deal. Starting tomorrow, use Alex Jones, all caps, one word for 20% off. And you can do that anytime between now and the conference.
Well, I can't wait. Now, I know some of the topics I'm going to talk about, the big picture and, you know, how this is a spiritual battle, but you got an amazing lineup of speakers. Tell us about these and tell us what's going to happen over 3 days.
Yeah, we're excited. So, I mean, it's a low bar, like, admittedly. So we're, you know, nobody here is a saint. Nobody here is, you know, an angel in disguise. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. But what we wanted to require is, you know, TPUS, I think Charlie Kirk was a great Christian. I think he's in heaven. He's in the presence of Jesus right now. I'm grateful for what he did. But here's the deal. TPUSA, let's call it what it is. Vivek Ramaswamy spoke at AmFest, right? He's a Hindu. James Lindsay, he didn't just speak at AmFest. That's one thing, because it's entirely political. But he spoke at the Pastor Summit with TPUSA Faith. He's an atheist. He doesn't even believe that Jesus is God. That's James. So you have atheists, you have Hindus, you have Mormon, you have Orthodox Jew, who, you know, Ben Shapiro, kind of looking at you. What I wanted to
do. That's fine and dandy, but where is the America First Christian event?
That's right. So this is in Dallas, Texas, at the Irving Convention Center, November 12th, 13th, and 14th. And the reason why we wanted to do this is I thought, what if we had a political cultural conference, but we actually had guys who are all Christian? I thought, hey, that'd be kind of cool. And sadly, whether it's CPAC or TPUSA or anything else, I don't know if it's ever been done before. So we thought we'd give it a try.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful thing that's happening. I want to get into the famous Hollywood star who's came off really with a lot of credibility from my research about how she was in a sex slavery ring, or they tried to put her in one, and then she died right after. I want to get into this woman that killed three of her children, strangled them, and the left's calling her a hero. I want to get into ABC files First Amendment lawsuit against FCC claiming Trump administration retaliatory campaign. As much as I hate the left and them, it is the First Amendment. You shouldn't have Trump do what the left did. I want to get your view on that. I want to hit some of the things happening in Israel, because we are on Israel. And people say to me, you're on the Israel thing as you get clicks. All I've gotten is censorship and attacks talking about Israel. And I always covered Israel when they did bad things. And I talked about the Liberty and the Levant affair and real things. And whenever Israel and Netanyahu were clearly involved with our intelligence agencies in laying the groundwork for 9/11. And people would find old clips and go, well, wait, I saw this, but I tuned into your show today, and it was all about Islam and the left and the Satanists and the pedophiles and Hollywood and all the rest. But that's because there's, if you're out in the African savanna, there's hyenas, there's lions, there's cobras, there's jackals, you know, there's all sorts of dangerous things. Like, we can walk and, you know, chew gum at the same time, and maybe even, you know, whistle while we're at it, maybe even skip, maybe even, file our nails. I mean, if you're a woman, the point is we can do a lot of things multitasking here, and we don't need to be, and when I criticize Israel or Islam or anything, it's from a position of research, not a position of hatred. And I would talk about China, that it controls most of the Democrats and Confucius centers, and I would get hit by the anti-Israel crowd saying, you're working for the Jews, why are you covering China, putting kill switches in all the computers? And I'd be like, you're mentally ill. I do cover Israel and they do bad stuff, but I cover the other predator right. groups. Now, because Israel, with the power vacuum, the Democrats, most unpopular they've ever been, they are coming in, primarying, saying they control Congress. The NDAA, literally over and over, we merge, we synchronize from research down to weapons to satellites to telemetry to weapons development. And the Pentagon experts go, no, this is a merger, and they're going to co-own our weapons. And all the, and Netanyahu says, I wrote Section 219 of it. And I'm watching this, and then I'm seeing Israel attack Lebanon and do all this to keep us in the war. And Trump's saying, stop that. And all of it. And I'm sorry, like, Israel literally is making its move. And it is, I leave it to Netanyahu. I don't blame Israel, the people of Israel, but Netanyahu, it's outrageous. And I'm not apologetic about this, to saying to the average Jew out there that I don't secretly have Hitler underwear and Heil Hitler, you know, have a swastika on the wall. I am legitimately talking about threats. The Pentagon came out a few months ago and said Israel's the number one intelligence threat to the U.S. It's because they are, folks. It's wild-eyed. They called it unhinged. Because Netanyahu's facing prison. And we predicted, as Joe Kent and the Pentagon did, it's failed. And so now here we are, and now we know Netanyahu secretly met with Tim Pool and other right-wing, quote, influencers to counter the anti-war crowd. Tim Pool, then I saw him come out. When everybody else said, I said, hey, how the algorithm shut down 90% of the views for everybody, including entertainment shows, X needs to fix it. They did. I said, it's probably a mistake. They went, oh, your audience is 90% gone because 90% loved the war, and it was all a pile-on. I saw it as a talking point. I saw it within minutes of my post, the exact same cutouts. I believe Israel gave the order through its NGOs, $1.3 billion they admittedly spent that we know about from the Knesset. Then when I saw Poole a day after it came out that it indeed was a glitch, I was right, come in and say, yeah, you're discredited because you're not for the war, you're not for Trump. I went, you know, I think you met with Netanyahu to counter the American propaganda that you call propaganda. I can't prove it. I think that's what that is. He countered by saying, no, you got the call. I'm on somebody's payroll, but he won't say. So you were asked before we went live, hey, what's going on with Tim Pool? My issue was just, it clicked to me when I saw that of, you know, him not worried about censorship if it was happening. No, you don't have an audience. When in truth, anti-war criticism of Israel is super popular. They tried to spin that. And not just me, they piled on saying, we're all discredited, we're not at the cool kid table, and I don't operate in peer pressure. My point is, I know what they're trying to use against me, and I know a synthetic, systematic, unified message when I see it.
Right.
And shame on Tim.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. I like Tim. I saw that beef between you and him over the last 24 hours. I hope that there's a way that maybe you can bury the hatchet. You know, I hope that you guys can pick up the phone and talk to each other. But I agree with you in the sense that – people will say, oh, you know, the anti-Israel stuff, you're just looking for clicks. It's just clickbait. Yeah. No, you don't understand the censorship. You don't understand the cost to that. You don't understand some of the death threats, you know, the emails that you get, all these kinds of things. There are plenty of opportunities that I've lost, and a much smaller scale than, you know, what I assume that you have, those potential opportunities, by being willing to speak out against this. But that's what I appreciate about you, Alex, is that you have not been a discriminator, right? If it's Russia, you're going to talk about Russia. If it's China, you're going to talk about China. Even our own country, if there's corruption, if there's lies, if there's deceit here in America, you're going to criticize your own country while loving your own country and being patriotic. And
when I criticize the U.S. government, I'm criticizing America.
Exactly.
Or China. I don't dislike the Chinese people. I hate the communists.
That's right. Exactly. And that's one of the things that I think it's going to take time. But I think over time, right, God is separating the wheat from the chaff. He's, you know, the separation of the men from the boys. One of the things to look for is you're seeking as a Christian to exercise discernment when it comes to influencers and people in positions of power or leadership or whatever, as you're seeking to discern who's actually on the team, who can I trust and who should I just tune out? One of the things to look for is the guys who can walk and chew gum at the same time. Is this somebody who is going to be critical of Israel, saying some things that are absolutely true about Israel and the problem, their influence here in our country and those kinds of things, but they're also going to be peddling some of the Russia slop, right? Like clear propaganda for Russia or clear propaganda for China or they're going to get really soft on Muslims, you know, and those kinds of things. But a guy who's like for us, so I published a book, it was called The Hyphenated Heresy, Judeo-Christianity. We talked about the big problem with that, that was hijacked. Judeo-Christian was a new term that was coined. It was hijacked to have political impetus that got evangelical Christians, dispensationalists, Zionists here in the West to do the bidding of a foreign country, thinking that they were somehow serving the will of God. And we wrote that book, and it sold like hotcakes. You know what we did next? 3 or 4 months later, we turned around, we published The Silent Jihad, and I got a lot of crap. People were like, all these people who loved me because I published the book about you know, Zionism, the hyphenated heresy, Judeo-Christian, this is a misnomer, this is bad, we need to shut it down. And then I say, The Silent Jihad, Europe right now is being taken over. It's being decimated by Muslims. And everybody was like, you're a traitor, you switched teams. I'm on Team Jesus.
Team truth,
when Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So Team Jesus, that's my captain. That's my team.
God is truth.
That's right. I'm pro-Christianity.
Well, that's my frustration is, and I really mean this, I don't want to see a nuclear war. I don't want to see Israel blown up. Plus, they have nukes. It's going to turn into... I think you alluded to this, and I cut you off earlier. I think the leadership of Israel is their own worst enemy. Yep. Even Trump said that a few days ago about Netanyahu. I mean, if they think a few steps ahead, they're supposedly so smart, which I think they are competent, but there's like something demonic going on.
Well, that's the problem is I don't think never attribute to malice what could be, you know, chalked up to ignorance, right? Stupidity. In this case, though, call me a Jewish supremacist, right? It's like, well, Joel, do you think that Jews might be, you know, per capita, right? Very difficult concept for some people to understand. Per capita, some of the most high IQ, most intelligent people in the world. Yeah, I actually kind of do. I think that they are actually a high functioning, intelligent group of people. I think that's undeniable, and they might be one of the highest, right? I won't get into the weeds with that, but let's just assume they are. Well, here's the deal. You can't have it both ways. If they are that smart, then I can't attribute this to stupidity and ignorance. I actually think it's malice. So it's like, well, they're their own worst enemies, and they keep shooting themselves in the foot. You know, their approval ratings for the average American are totally in the dumps, especially for Americans under the age of 45. You know, they've soured on Israel entirely. TPUSA, you know, is kind of having to even stop talking about the issue, or nobody's ever going to come to.
And it's energizing the left.
They still want
that clash.
But they still do it because at the end of the day, this is what I think.
Spiritual.
It's spiritual. And Wall Street Journal, it was either them or the Times or Atlantic. I think it was Wall Street Journal. They wrote an article about a month and a half, 2 months ago, where they said that basically the strategy of Netanyahu is he was going to play for an audience of one. The Lord Jesus Christ? No, Donald Trump. That he was going to go all in, that kind of like what the left did in 2020, right? The frog is slowly boiling as you're slowly, incrementally, you know, heating up the pot of water. But in 2020, the left got cocky and boom, they turned up the dial. And at least half of the frogs, praise God, you and I and others, we had a few nerve endings still working and we felt the heat and we jumped out of the pot. Well, I think that Netanyahu has done something similar. He's like, you know what? We're close enough. Let's just go ahead and turn it up and get all the way there.
Chutzpah.
Yes.
It's not just intelligence. It is the willingness to just go balls out.
And the reason why is I think, and here's the thing, and it's this is up to the Lord and us raising a righteous ruckus. But the question is, he might have actually made the right call. The verdict's still out because Netanyahu is saying, you know what? He's not stupid. He's not shooting himself in the foot. He's saying, I don't care about the average American's opinion of Israel anymore because we're in the end game now. And we played for an audience of one. We surrounded Trump with the Mark Levins and the Laura Loomers and the Lindsey Grahams and all these kind of people.
And our success is the proof of our future success.
And we can push it over the finish line.
Well, when I watch Ben-Gvir and them on TV, they say, we never lose. We're going to win. Don't worry. Trump told Tucker that the last time they talked. He said, I don't care how it looks right now. I never lose. And Tucker, it's so delusional. But then Israel's, we're like, okay, you get Iran. And I said this like a year ago. I said, next is Turkey and Egypt? Of course it is. Oh, now you're going to get them. Like, how big's this order? Like, you know. That I mean, even if I was Israel. For a greater Israel, which I'm not, so now it's like megalomania. It's like, and then they've got their Israel Firsters, the guy they installed in Kentucky. So we got to get the draft fired up now to fight this war for Israel.
Yep, just to
bull crap. Let me tell you something. I got 3 draft age children, Rex, Charlotte, and Georgia. Over my dead body.
Amen.
Yeah.
Especially, dude.
I got more than that that are women below, shouldn't below even draft age, but I mean,
your daughter shouldn't even be allowed to serve in the military, much less combat a draft. You know how wicked that is? God will judge us severely if we start drafting 20-year-old girls.
We're literally sacrificing our women to Moloch.
It's terrible. Yep. And let's be honest, it gets into our next story, but some of our women are also sacrificing their own children to Moloch.
Yeah, let's tee this up. Because I've covered it, but I saw this about a week ago, and I knew about it before that, but she's raised almost $1 million now, with 700,000 years, so it's like $1 million now. She strangled with 3 children. She was taken care of by a lathering cuck husband that gave her everything, from what I've seen. She strangled her children. The left are saying she's a rock star. Tell us about this lady.
Yeah, so sadly, it really reminds me of Carmelo Anthony, if you remember that case, you know, in Austin Metcalf. What you had happening is that black people, not all of them, of course, but there were many. It wasn't just one or two. Many, by the hundreds, arguably thousands of black people, simply because Carmelo Anthony had dark skin, rallied to his GoFundMe and all these kinds of things and raised a bunch of money for him to live in a big house and all these kinds of things.
And so because she's a woman, strangling 3 small children is luscious.
And so now women are doing for her the same kind of thing that black people, some of the black community was doing for Carmelo Anthony. And here's the deal. Like, I know
this is identity politics to the trillionth degree.
It is. And this is one of the things that we have to recognize. And this is something you feel free to push back. It's your show. You don't have to agree with me. But basically, this is an argument, right? This is the most blatant case study. But the principle, the concept at the 30,000 foot view is pretty simple. What you've seen with abortion. Is even pro-life people on the right.
No, I totally agree.
Right.
This is Moloch. The left says, I killed my kids. They love it. The women put on their bellies, oh, you were conceived on this date. You're about to be aborted today. I'm sure you've seen the videos.
Yes.
This is a religious demonic possession sacrament. And I didn't know what you are about to say. Is that what you're about to say?
Yes.
This is a full, open Moloch worship publicly.
Yes, 100%.
No. The women are becoming religious. Demonically possessed.
Yes.
It's a Jezebel spirit.
Yes, but with that, my point is that even those who are pro-life on the right will still kind of carve out some kind of excuse. So what they'll say is, they call it the second victim narrative. So they'll say, yeah, well, the first victim, the worst victim, of course, is the child that's torn apart by, you know, forceps in the womb and sucked out by a vacuum cleaner. You know, I guess that's the worst victim in an abortion case. But the woman who makes this choice, she's the second victim. And ultimately, what even on the right,
yeah, now they're trying to blame the husband, even though he was just an ass. But look at the face on this woman. She's a witch.
Yes. And so that's my point, is that we continue to erode women's agency, female agency. And my point is this, you got to pick a lane. Either women are never to blame. They're incapable of ever doing wrong. Whenever a woman does something terrible, whether it's an abortion or they're already born children,
they're given excuses.
So either women don't have the same agency of men, in which case maybe they shouldn't have the same rights. That's kind of what I'm getting to. Or they do have the same agency and they should actually be punished accordingly. Stop making
Well, you know, they always thought women were like only committed like 1% of murders. Now they're finding baked in criminology. There was a discrimination the other way that they wouldn't look at it, and that women, the classic thing, were poisoning. And it was still probably only like 6-7% of murders were women. But historically, they're now learning women do commit more murders, just no one expects them to. That's why the left loves, they admit this, putting women in positions of power. Because then you don't think of it as threatening when they're taking your land or doing this, because it's a woman. Because you're archetypally at an epigenetic level used to fighting men. It's like, oh, it's a woman. I'll kind of open the door for her. Well, I'll let her take my property. I'll let her kill my kid. I'll let her cut my son's penis off. Because it's a woman. You know, can't be mean to a woman.
Exactly. And that's what we've been doing forever, is we make excuses for women. Like the Supergirl meme, you know, with kryptonite. And what's it called? Accountability. It's like women today in our society in general, not every single one, but there's an allergic reaction to accountability.
And I'm telling you, women, they don't do well. No one does good under no accountability, but women admit statistically highest level depression, suicide, totally alone, worst. They embrace the left, and how'd it go for them? Not well. They are not happy. Then you got the trade moms who are super happy.
Yep. And
so, I mean, that's what it's all about. All right, we're going to come back on the other side with Joel Webbin at Joel Webbin on X at the big Christ is King America After Trump conference. 40% off today only at newchristianright.com with code. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have this system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial, and this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able
to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
When the hydrogen bombs are detonating, and you're sitting in your house or office, and all of a sudden the windows all blow out, and then 10 seconds later, you see a flash of red coming at you, that's the firewall. And just remember, oh, Alex Jones was right. And that's if you're, you know, on the edge of the blast. You won't feel anything if you're actually in the epicenter of it. And, of course, maybe you're out in the middle of Montana or Wyoming. Well, you'll get the nuclear winter and the fallout. And then a few weeks after the nuclear war, here comes the warlords coming to loot your house and rape your wife and kids. And people got their teeth falling out from radiation poisoning. And all these crazy guys stumble out of their vehicles. And it'll be doctors and medics and engineers. And they'll all been gone totally crazy. They have a bunch of 140 IQ psychos that are literally going across the land like army ants, devouring everything in their way. And all the low IQ people will just be dead in a ditch. And then the near of civilization goes bye-bye, and all of a sudden there's all these monsters, all these 140, 150, 160 IQ monsters. The guy that used to manage the golf course, your surgeon, your neighbor who's the army vet. And now all of a sudden, they're hauling you up by a chain to butcher your ass and eat you. And if I wanted to get outside the blast zone, I could go get ready and I could be the leader. I could be a new warlord. I could organize the engineers and scientists and warriors and have a battle plan how we were going to take the resources we needed, get to a redoubt, fortify it with weapons, because there's going to be other warlords coming soon we're going to contend with as we rebuild civilization. And it's not that I want to be a warlord, but that's what we're going back to. Are you ready to be a warlord? Are you ready for me to be humongous? Just give us the guts. We spare your lives. I know how much pain you feel, but wait. Now is not the time. You'll be given your vengeance.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Joel Webbin's our guest, and he's a co-host here in the first hour of the War Room with Harrison Smith. At 3 p.m. Central, you'll find all the feeds at Real Alex Jones on X, rumble.com/Alex Jones Live, the best place, AlexJonesLive.com/show, or just on the main page. You'll see the network feed with Harrison Smith and the War Room Live. Crisis King America After Trump, a 3-day conference featuring myself and many other incredible people like J.P. Sears, Joel Webbin, Harrison Smith, and so many others. You don't want to miss it. Go to newchristianright.com/conference, and only until midnight Pacific time today, that's 2 a.m. Central tomorrow, you can get 40% off with promo code FISHBACK for the conference. That is an insane deal for a 3-day conference. And after that, if you use promo code Alex Jones at newchristianright.com/conference, you get 20% off. I have a sneaking suspicion that this is going to sell out very, very quickly. So we're a couple months out from November 12th to the 14th. So I would secure this now. This is truly the heart of America First. This is what we have to have to win. It is all about God. That's the missing ingredient in the other events and things. I'm not putting them down, but you guys put on great conferences. I'm so honored to be there and really look forward to being there. Joel Webbin.
We're excited to have you. Thank you.
Thank you. NewChristianRight.com/conference. Promo code Alex Jones for 20% off. But today only, 40% off with promo code FISHBACK. All right. You got cut off on the break talking about this lady, Lindsay Clancy. It's up to $1 million now, $700,000 this morning. She has raised, strangling her three children. I was reading about it. After her third child, her husband took off work for 3 months to help her. She was able to take off work for 5 months, even with her husband returned to work. And able to help her with the children. They were quite wealthy. They could afford daycare. They had no financial stress. They had time to exercise. Wish I could stay home with my kids when they were little. She had 5K races with her husband. She had time to practice meditation. She had time to attend therapy. They had supportive extended family. She received world-class health care. She saw a specialty psychiatrist and received psychiatric medication. This isn't the label that can make you kill people. To help her with the symptoms, a psychiatrist followed up with her and adjusted the medications based on her feedback.
And now they're saying that she's a victim and supporting her. You were expanding on that, finishing up with that.
Yeah, well, it's just crazy to me that the double standard that we have, that women are always, especially, you know, feminism is always insisting on having equal rights. And let's just be honest, feminism doesn't want to be equal to men. It wants matriarchy. It wants to supersede men. And so they're always arguing for equal or even superior rights to men. And yet, whenever something bad happens, whenever a woman does something bad, they argue for somehow the woman not having the same agency, the same responsibility or duties as men. And the reality is you can't have it both ways. If you want equal rights, and there's got to be equal agency. But for some reason, women today, modern women, many of them seem just allergic to accountability. And I will say one thing, aside from some of the theology and the spiritual level, when it comes to chemicals, the average woman today, especially younger women, they are not chemically sound. They are hopped up on
30% or on psychotropics,
SSRIs and all these different things. And then it's flushed. I'm talking to Alex Jones, so I feel like you're going to agree with
me. They're being targeted by psychiatry. Why?
That's right. Yeah. Well, because I think that at some level, and this is just my opinion, but I got to say it, 1 Timothy, right? So 1 Timothy chapter 1 says that the man was formed first, Adam was formed first, then the woman. But then it goes on and says that the woman was formed second, but she was first deceived. The woman was deceived and became a sinner, but women will be saved through childbearing, through faith, hope. And I'm just quoting the Bible there. I'm not exegeting. That's a quote. Through faith, hope, love, and propriety. And so my point is this, that Adam, that's not to absolve man of his guilt. Adam sinned with his eyes wide open. If anything, this makes him more morally culpable. Adam's sin is the greater sin, one by position. He had headship. He had authority. Number two, he sinned with his eyes wide open. He knew what he was doing. But the woman, Eve, she actually was deceived by the serpent. And whether you agree with this or not in our modern age, I'll tell you the report from antiquity, all the church fathers, all throughout church history, all these major theologians argue that the average woman, of course, there's always exceptions, but the average woman is more susceptible to being manipulated or being formed or shaped.
Stockholm syndrome. Way.
Yes. And then when you take the nature of a woman, this is not a weakness. Women are, I think, instinctively, in general, on the whole, more trusting. Men are more suspicious, right? Women are more trusting because God built them to be nurturing and to build a home and for it to be warm and hospitable and to care for people with all these things. And so the nature, the way that God made women, I think they are more susceptible to being manipulated. You throw chemicals and SSRIs and all that kind of stuff in the mix. And I know that this is an extreme case, but this is what we're going to see more of. We've built the context for this to happen.
And then the left endorses it and basically praises it.
Yes. Yep. And so many people, women, are right there ready to hop on. Hey, here's $1 million. We support you. And why do you think the husband's guilty? It's because he has a Y chromosome. It's not because they've looked into the evidence or the facts. They think
he
looks
mean. Oh, I forgot that part. A lot of people are claiming he killed him or it was his fault.
That's right. They're claiming, oh, he's the one who did it. Why? Because he's a man, and God forbid we actually believe that women could do something wrong.
There's so many cases of women on SSRIs drowning their kids, killing them, driving them into lakes. I mean, it's a problem. But we're not allowed to say it. Now, speaking of women, we have this huge human trafficking. And really what turned a lot of MAGA against Trump was when he said, we're going to investigate Epstein, it's real, we're going to release it. And then he says, you're not MAGA if you think Epstein's real, it's a hoax. And we have Hayden Panettiere, a very popular actress. I don't even follow Hollywood. I knew who she was. Very likable. Former child actress who starred in Heroes, dies at 36. She's been in a lot of big movies even recently. They're saying she died of cardiac arrest. You know, they're not sure. But she had recently come out, and she had recently said that with powerful elites, she was brought out on yachts, and they tried to rape her, and that she escaped, and that she was getting ready to name names. And then she magically dies. Very, very suspicious.
What are they saying the causes of her death?
It might be an overdose, heart attack, cardiac arrest. They don't know, but I saw recent interviews with her, and she was glowing, didn't look like somebody that was, you know, lifting weights and doing yoga and working out all day. She did not look like somebody, you know, that's on enough drugs to kill you. It just doesn't fit. And of course, we even had people like Virginia Giuffre saying, they're going to kill me. And then she dies and they say it's suicide. I think this is tying up loose ends. So here's a clip of her posthumously just recently. And there's other interviews as well, describing what happened to her. And so I think it should be investigated because of, you know, so much of what we've seen. Here it is.
If you like Hayden Panettiere, you should definitely watch our picks for her best movies.
Trace.
Hey, Balzac.
Oh my God.
The Architect is a drama film directed by Matt Tauber. When corruption and violence is so deep-rooted, it cannot be ripped out. You have to tear everything down and start from scratch. When a troubled resident of the city's most crime-ridden housing projects asks for the complex to be destroyed and rebuilt better, poor and rich collide, leading to a class war.
Is it my clothes?
Don't, okay? Stop it. Stop it.
Is it my body?
No.
All right, I sent the guys so many clips of this, and I told him I gave him the clip before the show, and we'll work on it. If we can't do it live, we'll put it in post. But she specifically did an interview saying that she was sex slaved on a yacht, and that all this happened. Just bring me the video, listen, I'll do it. I'm not mad. I just like literally said, guys, it's this clip right here, and it was a key clip, and I said I got a bad feeling about this clip that we're gonna have a problem, and I knew in the spirit this was gonna happen because it's so important. But I mean, go ahead and just speak to this in general, and we'll find the club. Go ahead.
I don't know. So this is a story that I don't know a whole lot about, but I know that in general, generally speaking, it seems as though there are a lot of people who are saying help, help, help. They want to kill me. They're after me. And then all of a sudden they wind up dead. But then the alleged story always comes out that, oh, it's natural causes, or this, died suddenly, or it's a heart attack or a drug overdose or these kinds of things. And we've got to get to the bottom and be honest about what's really going on. So on the one hand, we just talked about, the woman who strangled her three children. And there's on one hand, it's like we're not holding women accountable. We're getting rid of their agency. And yet at the same time, we're saying they get all the rights, but they don't have the responsibilities. On the other hand, men in our country are not protecting women. So on the one hand, women are actually victims of their own doing. But on the other hand, we actually are victimizing women. We're not protecting them. And I actually think these two stories are actually joined together, Alex. I don't think it's a coincidence, because when you exalt women, when you worship and idolize women, you say, well, the woman is actually the dog that's, the tail that's wagging the dog. And she gets, she's going to be the one who's superior and calling all the shots and these kinds of things. And yet she doesn't have any agency or responsibility for anything wrong that she ever does. That kind of mentality that is a feminist ideology is actually the same mentality that does not defend and protect women. It's what gets women killed. It's what makes women actually turn out to be a victim, not just allegedly by their own narrative, but in real life.
Absolutely. And they did find the club. I sent them a bunch of clubs, so that happens. I sent them like 150 clubs a day. Here's one of the interviews she gave that I think is very credible, talking about what she witnessed and what happened, and now she's dead. Here it is.
Is all of them. All of them.
You write about a moment in your career where a friend of yours takes you onto a boat. You're led to a room which has an older man in it and then basically told to perform sexual acts and,
Oh, yeah. Perspective completely shifted and I realized that I was in danger. But by the time I'd realized I was in danger, I was quite literally out to sea. And that moment shook me and was shocking. And I was quite literally walked down and I had been having a great time. There was no hints of anything like that happening. So it took me, I was shocked. It took me by surprise. And it was somebody led by somebody that I had grown to trust and see as a protector and somebody who had my back, and to be walked down, down the stairs. And it was as like a surprise, presented as though it was like a surprise. And it was this very small room, and she physically put me in the bed next to this undressed man who was very famous and had his hands like this, like this was just, an average day for him. This is something that happens all the time. And I waited for her to leave. And I mean, that lion in me, that fire in me, my hair stood on end, and I became ferocious. I was like, this is not happening. But I had nowhere to hide. And I bolted and I hid wherever I could think of to hide on a boat. There was no jumping off and swimming away. And there was nobody who was going to, I realized that there was nobody who was going to be empathetic to my situation, that this was nothing new to them.
It is all of them. All of them. And not one will be able to escape.
What is true is we had some good parties at the White House.
Woo!
Hey, little girl, is your daddy home?
Public Place, you did it.
The best.
Okay, the best. Probably the Obama thing.
John!
These incestuous relationships with Anthony Fauci that go back 20 years, where he's, you know, paying Fauci, and they have all kinds of really corrupt financial entanglements with each other. They, you know, he brought Fauci to the house.
I'll go. I never had COVID.
You study the Epstein files, it's almost all Democrats, but there's Trump even defending Bill Clinton, saying, oh, he's really a great guy in the last few months. I mean, they got him. I'm sorry. And I want to salvage anything we can to make it less bad. But what do you think happens, Joel Webbin, in the midterms and what's coming up? And again, your whole conference coming up in November is about what happens America after Trump. We really need to get ahead of this now.
Yeah, we strategically positioned the dates of this conference right after the midterms. And that's intentional because even now, heading into the midterms, still a couple months away, Trump is at an all-time low in the polls, especially among young white Christian men. When it comes to young men, Trump has absolutely tanked. And so what we're saying, and there's a difference between a prescription and a prediction. This is a prediction, the latter. So I'm not saying this is good or this is what I want to happen, but my prediction is that we're going to get crushed in the midterms. And I think that people are going to recognize that Trump was always a precursor. And this doesn't mean that you, Alex, guys like you or guys like Tucker, you know, guys who were early MAGA, that you got it wrong, right? God does this. I mean, you read, you know, First and Second Chronicles, First and Second Kings. There were plenty of kings that started out good. King Saul, the first Saul, king in Israel. I view Trump, in some sense, it's like he is kind of like a King Saul, that he starts out, you know, I don't know. In the case of King Saul, it says he was once small in his own eyes. I don't know if Trump was ever small in his own eyes. I think he always had an ego. Worship seems to be the language that he speaks.
Well, the point is the head gets bigger.
That's right. Exactly. And so I think, you know, the head getting bigger. And I think that, you know, because of 2020 and being robbed, I think that election was rigged. I think Trump had a real choice. And it was basically, you know what? We'll let you be president again. We'll let you win the election. We'll let you get back in the White House. But here's the deal. You got to work for us. And it seems as though that's what happened.
And the term really started up 4 or 5 months into the administration, because he was on all cylinders. And some of us are like, why are you cheerleading so much?
I'm the executive order.
The economy, DOGE, executive orders,
first
everything. And this is like, I was like, this is a blessing. Yeah. And then it went, and people said, well, he's only turned a few degrees. You stay a few degree turn, you're going backwards soon.
That's right.
And he's already 60-70% what he wasn't. I mean, he's pretty soon he'll be the devil, basically, if he keeps going. I mean...
Yeah, I think another thing is, and you've talked about this, you know, you have a lot of insider knowledge with this, the debate that you and I did with Joe Kent, that should come out, talk to the guys who host it, Walked Away. I think it's
Brandon
August Strzok's 31st.
Great, and they did a great job production.
August 31st, that's going to come out. But
some editors can put that out in like 2 days.
Yeah, and you were talking in that debate about this stuff with Iran. People think, oh, it's not a big deal. You're panicking. You guys are, you know, you're exaggerating the hyperbole. People do not understand what's going on with Iran. Trump is between a rock and a hard place. He feels like a fool, right? He got in. I think he was maybe hoodwinked.
And the economic numbers are coming in. Devastating.
It's going to be absolutely devastating. And by the time we get to the midterms, I think the chickens will come home to roost. And that's why a conference like this is important.
They're not even sure they can prop the stock market up until then. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Trump is doing it every other day. He's trying to tweet. He's using Truth Social to single-handedly, like,
he's
Atlas.
Fighting so hard to do it when all he had to do was not do the war.
Right. Like, but it's too late now because you...
He called Netanyahu his own worst enemy. So is Trump.
That's right. And so now that you have killed the new regime's father, the old regime, there's a bloodlust that those guys have. They've even said, Iran has come out and said, no, we're just going to ruin the world globally.
Their
economy.
Religion is about martyrdom.
Yeah. And we're going to, they can, it's a war of attrition, and they can hold up not because they're prosperous, not because they're rich, but here's the deal. Americans, if gas stays high for long enough, groceries stay high, these kinds of things, Americans won't have it. Iran, the regime there, they're fine with sacrificing their own
people. Well, look at the Iran-Iraq war. They lost 2 million people and didn't care.
And they won't care. They'll hold out, and they've even signaled, the leadership of Iran has said, we're going to hold out until the end of Trump's term.
And by the way, they have. The Pentagon assessment told Trump don't do it, but notice the Israel lobby didn't attack them because the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, that's too credible. They made it about me and Tucker and people. No, the Pentagon agreed with me. Now, I had the same view before they put the report out, but when I read the report, I'm not naive. It was all accurate.
Right.
Because I studied this. Let's shift gears to this. Speaking of the pedophiles, we'll try to put an HD article up of this because I'm going to be reading off this. Palm Beach County Clerk of Courts Mike Caruso arrested on child sexual abuse charges, reportedly raping his grandson for years. And, of course, he's a big Republican. So, I mean, it's not statistically there's this many pedophiles. It's that they're putting him in key positions. It got declassified that the CIA put most of the mayors and tribal chiefs, hundreds, in charge of Afghanistan who were pedophiles. And they said the declassified report, they don't want money, nothing. They do whatever we tell. All we do is supply them with children. So what is this? I mean, indicted for raping for years his grandson.
That's correct.
Now, I'm not saying he's guilty, but, you know, this just keeps happening. The good news is they're getting busted. What do you think's happening here, Joel?
Yeah, well, I agree with you. I don't think that everybody in America is a pedophile, but everybody in Washington, D.C. might be. It's, you know, it's a per capita kind of thing. But the type of person who has
it's a cult. They recruit.
Yes, and the type of person that has that kind of narcissism, that thinks that they could do atrocious, heinous things to a child, perverse, wicked things that God absolutely hates, is also the type of person who often wants to have power over the whole country.
And let's be clear, Ted Gunderson was a head FBI guy and discovered all this. He said, listen, most of them don't even like it. They want the power. That they want the devil to give them favor, and they must do something to separate them from God so the Holy Spirit's removed so the devil can come in. Is that the ultimate sin, like when you finally turn, you reject the Holy Spirit and accept Satan?
Yes, it's
unbelief. What is ultimate sin? Well, what is
the
thing?
The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which ultimately is the sin of unbelief, is the sin of rejecting the
finished. Well, it's knowing it's real and rejecting it.
Exactly. Knowing that it's will, blatant rejection, saying, it's not that I don't believe in God, or it's not that I have ignorance.
I choose Satan.
Conscious
choice.
I hate God.
It's a contract. You're like,
that's right.
God says, you choice, your pastor explains to me, I'm just trying to understand, right?
No, you're right.
That's
it's
what I've learned with
choice.
The FBI guys. They said the Satanists do it to make the deal to get the blast. They want that. They want the contract.
Right. So I think the type of person who is a narcissist, who wants power, is the type of person who would commit acts of pedophilia. At the same time, I think it's two things, a two-prong approach. There's also a sense in which the type of person that many of our overlords who actually are leading things behind the scenes, the type of person that they'll let run an election and win an election and sit in the seats of power are the types of people that they have blackmail on, the types of people they have 100%. Leverage on, that they'll be able to control.
We'll come back and talk about the Holy Spirit. We should do a whole hour on that. But, I mean, I feel the Holy Spirit. Literally, it tells me things. It's real. I want to cry. It's so beautiful. But it's also strength. Imagine rejecting that beauty. Right. Like, you know God's real and you choose Satan. Yeah. Like, I don't blame people that never knew and got tricked or whatever. But knowing and I choose the devil. Right. That's really stupid.
Yep.
And I'm going to rape a kid so I separate myself from God as, like, the deal maker.
Yeah,
by the way, you don't sign your name in blood. You sign it in a kid's blood, folks.
Yeah, you're right, though. It's not just degrees of perversion. So sin is progressive. It grows. Nobody just wakes up one day and decides to be a serial killer. You start small. You're killing dogs and burying them in the backyard and those kinds of things. We've all watched Dexter. We know how it works. So sin is progressive. The sin of perversion is also progressive, right? This is the way pornography works. You know, you look at something and then you want more and then you want more and you want something that's more grotesque.
It doesn't satisfy.
Right. So perversion, like pedophilia, that's the end game. And so there is this progression of the sin of perversion. But it's not just that. It also is demonic worship. So it's you're absolutely right. It's not just
demons
lust.
Are coming in.
Right. It's not just lust. It's actually forms of worship towards
Joel
demonic
Levin,
entities.
Come back next week and let's talk about this.
All right. Let's do it.
Well, let's do a commercial-free, like, three-hour podcast. Bring all your notes. You know you're a smart guy.
All right.
All right, folks. Go now to the site. Register only until midnight tonight Pacific with Fish.
Do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time. Uncensored. Unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
Dirty, dark, dastardly villain is after the methylene blue formula.
Magical methylene blue. Don't wait. Get yours today while supplies last.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.